about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I want to do it because it's fun. It's fun to do bad things.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Today, I was like, all right, I don't want to, like, really sound stupid when I do this show today. Like, so I learned a little education on sharks. I look up sharks on the internet, and then I see, like, whale sharks. I'm like, oh, that must mean a whale and a shark have sex. And then I think, well, how does a whale and a shark have sex? Because there's a thing called whale sharks. So I thought they must, you know. And then I realized that whales are mammals and sharks are animals. They have nothing to do with each other. So basically, dolphins have sex with each other, but the sharks don't. So I thought, then how is it such a thing?
And now,
USA! USA! USA!
Our feature presentation.
I love her so much.
How can you not?
That's Tara Reid, right?
Yes, that's Tara Reid, star of Sharknado.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome. I want to hear more.
Yes, there is a little bit more. She was on that. We had Josh Wolf on, the guy who does the Shark After Dark show, and mm-hmm. she was one of his guests that week, along with Ian Ziering, her co-star from Sharknado, and she was explaining how much she knew about sharks to the great delight of the audience and of America.
I didn't know how dumb she was.
Oh, no. She's...
Did you know that?
Yes. She's always been this dumb.
Wow.
Always. She's so dumb.
Wow. That was spectacular.
No wonder you love her.
Yep. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Monday, the 12th of August.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
We are good.
Yeah.
Here's a interesting story before we get started on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Monday. I love stories like this because I like to think about what I would do if I were in charge. If I'm the guy running things, how would I handle this situation? And I'll ask you guys the same question.
First of all, I'm peace out at that point.
You are running the Department of Motor Vehicles, Kevin.
Yes. Oh, no. Nothing goes right now.
First of all those points go right off your license. First of all, you are officially the best driver in the history
Stupid
of the state
points.
Of California.
Who needs
what
them?
What do you do if you're running the DMV or MVA, depending on what state you're in, and a huge celebrity needs to have his or her driver's license renewed?
I would imagine they have a system for that.
Do you hustle them in and out as fast as possible? Put them to the front of the line? Take care of them, get them out the door in 5 minutes? Or do you go, hey, you're a regular person, you have to wait in line like everybody else?
I don't know. There's certain people who just can't wait in line for safety reasons, I think. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge stars that just...
They'd just be mobbed, right?
They'd be mobbed the whole time, and it just seems... I would think they would have some kind of system to bring them in the back and do the marine crawl so that nobody can see them.
Well, here's why this story is in the news, because this is a story in Pittsburgh at the DMV office. They're the Duncan Manor DMV office in McCandless, and Sidney Crosby had to have his driver's license renewed on Friday. He's 26 now. He, of course, is the captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins, one of the greatest hockey players in the world of all time, and he's one of the most famous people in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So he shows up at the DMV. He had called ahead, and that's exactly what they did, is they hustle him in, hustle him out. And a lot of people, not only there at the DMV, but also people in the Pittsburgh area, are saying, hey, that's just not – it's not fair. I disapprove, for instance, one woman who was interviewed there. She had to wait in line twice, by the way, once for her license, once for her daughter's license while she was there. She says he should have to sit and wait with everyone else. Her daughter, by the way, says, no way, he absolutely should not. If I weren't here, I would have come down here. I would have been down here in 5 minutes if I heard Sidney Crosby was at the DMV. People would be texting pictures to their friends. People would be calling everybody, and the DMV would be completely overrun in no time. And the DMV is coming out because there's been so much heat on this, and they've said, yeah, it would slow things down in there because of the security concerns of how many people who would show up who did not have business in the building.
And it takes a certain something to slow things down for the DMV.
So it's an interesting discussion, by the way. The representative for the DMV says, she's a spokesperson, she says the decision on whether to take them to the front of the line is based on how much potential the celebrity has to create a furor that causes delays for everyone, which makes me think that there's somebody in the back, you know, at the DMV who's going, I don't know. How famous is this person? What's it likely to be? Like Tara Reid shows up. Does she go to the front of the line or does she just sit there?
Oh, she sits there forever. They never help her.
They just keep passing over her number, right?
No, but what if the guy in the back is like, I don't like hockey. I don't care about Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was when you said that name.
Yeah, and by the way, I guess that's true. There probably were a lot of people who were sitting in that DMV who had no idea who this young man was who was being escorted to the front of the line. They're just like, hey, what's this dick's problem, right?
I don't think I would escort him to the front of the line, though. I think I'd have a dedicated somebody in the back or something.
Well, remember,
parade them past.
Right, but you got to get your picture taken in that little booth and stuff like that. I'm sure they don't have one of those set up.
Yeah,
in the back,
true. That's true.
You know? So, interesting question. So, you guys think they make the right call here?
Oh, definitely.
Well, I would put them in a special room in the back and make them wait as long as however people have to wait, and then rush them through the front. And then I would tell everyone they had to wait.
Hey, they waited too.
An hour and a half. And then we zoomed them through.
That certainly is a dumb idea. But
I know you're the only one here, Mr. Crosby, but you've got to wait 2 hours too. Just sit there on this little metal folding chair and we'll call you when it's your turn.
But it would solve the problem of slowing things down.
Right, you know, exactly.
Or causing a scene or whatever.
Or people being upset.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. So, everybody's upset when they go to the DMV anyway.
It's true.
Not like things could get much worse at that place. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm tired and not in the mood. Go away now.
What if I told you Beer Mug has interviews from the Kids' Choice Awards?
Then I'm changing my mind.
Not quite so tired.
Nope.
Teen Choice Awards, sorry. We have Michael Dubin, who's going to be on the show today from Dollar Shave Club.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's happening. James Dean is going to be here talking about the canyons.
He's an interesting fella.
He is. I like him very much.
I did too.
We had him on for the Farrah Abraham Simpson Teen Backdoor Mom video, and we liked him very much then. We invited him to come back to talk about macking with Lindsay Lohan in this movie.
You walked in on your roommate. We're going to take those stories today, and they were taking care of business for themselves. Chris Hardwick is going to be on the show today talking bad.
Yes.
I thought that was your job, by the way.
Which is the new show about Breaking Bad that's like Talking Dead for Walking Dead.
Correct.
It's going to be so confusing.
Chris has carved out quite a niche for himself.
He really has. We're going to talk about the Lady Gaga is naked and no one cares video.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know we'll talk about it next hour, but that is such a surprise to me what a huge star she is. And she's full frontal naked in this video.
Yeah.
And it has caused not a ripple.
No one's talking about it.
No one cares.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, we'll check in with him and find out what the celebrities were doing over the weekend. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 till 6.
Matt Damon talks his new film Elysium with us, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
He's got reason to be happy that Matt Damon, his movie Elysium, came in at number one this weekend. $30.4 million. Made it the best of the weekend. Right behind it, though, was We're the Millers, the criminal comedy with Jennifer Aniston and Jason Sudeikis. $26.6 million in its debut.
Kevin, what'd you see? I know you had eyes on both.
I saw both. And We're the Millers, if the trailer for We're the Millers was a 10, We're the Millers is a 6.
Whoa.
Wow.
Maybe.
Okay. Rental.
Yeah.
Yeah, at
so
best.
Take the trailer plus the movie, divide by pi.
That's how I do it.
And then.
That's how I do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
At Elysium?
Loved it. Loved
it. Can't wait to see that.
It. Although I hear it's getting bad reviews. But, oh well. I loved it.
I've seen mixed, but mostly positive from what I've seen, yeah. Planes, in its debut, the new animated comedy from Disney. $22.5 million. I caught a lot of hell from Disneyites last week.
Is that right?
Because I said Planes looks to me as if perhaps the first misstep from Pixar, and they were quick to point out that although Disney and Pixar released films together, this was not, in fact, a Pixar production.
Oh.
This came from Disney itself.
Obviously.
So saying, not our fault. No, hey, stop it. Don't pick on Pixar. If you know what's good for you. Yeah. I was like, all right.
Who knew that cult existed?
Pixar Nazis. Sorry about that. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, was fourth. Then Two Guns came in at number five. The Smurfs 2, The Wolverine, The Conjuring, Despicable Me 2, and Grown Ups 2, rounding out the top 10. at the box office. Does it seem to me, or is Wolverine sort of falling off the pop culture radar?
Very quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
Had a pretty good opening weekend, but no one really seems to be talking about it the way they talked about, you know, Avengers or other superhero movies. I think maybe we're getting superheroed out.
You think so?
Some people maybe just was a glut of superhero big budget movies we've been introduced to over the past couple of years. I think maybe that genre is starting to wear thin on some people. We'll have to wait and see. While we're talking about new movies, Lovelace, of course, also opened over the weekend. They made a Seyfried film about the star of Deep Throat. It was only on 118 screens over the weekend. That's not a lot, but even the few theaters it was in, nobody was going to see it. Only made about $1,500 per screen per average.
Mm.
So, no one going to see it in theaters. However, it is in the top five most downloaded movies on iTunes.
Oh, is there
a lot of people watching it in the privacy of their own home? Wicker, 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 wicker. More cast members for The Expendables 3 have been announced. Sly Stallone's upcoming Expendables film will not only have, as we know, Harrison Ford now, but Antonio Banderas and Mel Gibson will be joining the cast.
Is that right?
Just keeps getting better.
What a cast.
That's right. Everybody's going to the movie.
That's provocative.
It is provocative. Okay. Chris Brown had a seizure.
Yes.
Early Friday morning.
That's great news.
Early Friday morning, and apparently it's our fault.
What do you mean it's our fault?
It's our fault.
Whose fault?
We did it.
Who?
Us.
You and me and...
And everyone.
So the world?
Yes. His doctor said the seizure came about because of intense fatigue and extreme emotional stress, both due to the continued onslaught of unfounded legal matters and nonstop negativity from
his
the public.
Wait, the doctor said that?
Yes.
There's no way.
That means it's time to get a new doctor. If your doctor says, wow, people really don't like you, that's why you had a seizure, I would say, find a better answer than that.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, in essence, we made him sick because we hate him so much, which I'm okay with. And I wish I knew we had that power before. We could start using it for good with many celebrities.
That's true.
Oh, Kim Kardashian. Just put on negative thoughts there and see what happens.
So they're basically just diagnosing karma is what's happening here.
Basically, yeah. Here's the thing. Don't be a dick and so many people won't hate you.
Right.
There's that.
Your doctor should give you a prescription for no dicatrol or whatever it takes to stop you from being a butthole.
He does at every opportunity where he has the chance to make himself look better. He goes the other way.
Yeah.
Invariably, one bad choice after another.
Like Justin Bieber, invariably he will, given two options, he will make the choice that makes him look
exactly
like the biggest dude.
Have you ever heard a doctor wade into the people are being unfair and?
I'm sorry, you have a terminal case of bad press.
Yes, charging people with lying or treating him unfairly—that's crazy.
Check you into the We Love You Hospital, where people will just shower you with adoration for a couple weeks, and you should be fine. Today's celebrity birthdays: Sir Mix-a-Lot. Oh, you know what we're going to be playing later on today. You know what? You know what I'm saying? He's 50 years old today. Actor Peter Krause is 48 years old. You know him from 6 Feet Under, of course, and Parenthood. Michael Ian Black is 42. Rebecca Gayhart, also 42. Actress Yvette Nicole Brown is 42 as well. Casey Affleck of the acting-directing Affleck family is 38 years old. And actress Maggie Lawson from Psych turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Damon.
What do you want to know? What? That I don't have 12 brothers?
Yeah.
That I'm a f***ing orphan? No, yeah. You don't want to hear that.
I didn't know
that. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that I got cigarettes put out of me when I was a little kid.
I didn't know that.
Surgery that the mother stabbed me. You don't want to hear that, Skylar.
Last 4 days on Earth. If I had a, I'd go get laid. We can do the next best thing.
What's that?
Huh? Let's kill people.
What did you actually do in New York?
Telling lies, forging signatures, impersonating practically anybody.
Jesus Christ.
That's Jason Bourne.
Tell her that when you found me, I was here, and I was with the only brothers that I have left.
Costello was my informant. I was a rat. You prove it. He was working for me. He was my informant. Shut your mouth. Come on. Get up. I'm a sergeant in the Massachusetts State Police. Who the are you? I erased you.
Not to the brush of dust, to the taste of defeat. Drink it. Remember this. And promise yourself, never to taste it again.
You give out very little sugar with your pronouncements. While I sat there watching you, I gave some thought to stealing a kiss. Though you are very young and sick and unattractive to boot. But now I have a mind to give you 5 or 6 good licks with my belt.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the young, the personable Matt Damon.
Matt Damon is on the phone because, of course, his movie Elysium, one of the most anticipated films of 2013, is finally in theaters. And I'm always curious to see what choices you make, Matt, because you've been making movies for 25 years now, and you can have any movie you want. So I would imagine, you know, you got your pick of the litter. There must have been something very, very attractive to you about Elysium that made you say yes.
Well, yeah, it was the director. Yeah, he's the same guy who did District 9.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw that movie, and I just flipped out for it, and... You know, I'm kind of at this stage, I really just make choices totally based on the director. And if you see a great movie, it's never made by accident. You know, every frame of a movie is, you know, there's nothing arbitrary in it. It's been carefully considered. It kind of reflects, you know, 50 choices, say, that a director's made. What color are the walls? What color's the, you know, how big's the frame? Who's in the frame? What are they doing? You know, all that stuff is like, has been thought about. So if you see a great movie, it just kind of reflects so many good decisions made over such a long period of time that there's just kind of automatically you can assume that there's a great director behind it. So if you see a great movie, it's for me, I go, well, okay, that's somebody I want to work with. And so when I saw District 9, I Neil really kind of jumped to the front of the line of people that I wanted to
I'm work not going to ask for specifics, but have you had movies where you gave it your all and you really thought you nailed it and then you put it in the wrong hands and it ended up not quite being what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, of course.
What's the name of it?
Yeah, no, and that it's a weird thing. Like, and I've always felt like, you know, because it's a director's medium, really the director it controls everything. I mean, I've had situations where we've had no script and a great director and the movie's turned out really well. Or had a great script and it's been mediocre because of you know some wrong choices made. But if you're an actor, for me, my theory has always been like the big decision that I make is that decision. If I'm gonna trust that director, and once I make that decision, it's made. And like you can't switch horses, you know, in the middle of the race. You gotta just go to the wall for that guy and take it on the chin. And you know, and sometimes like you're making a movie and you're you know a month into a you know a 4-month experience and you're going like, this is, you know, I'm screwed.
I made a wrong choice.
Did that run through your mind when you were breathing poop dust in Mexico City?
No, actually, you know what? You know, we shot that scene. It was in the second largest dump in the world.
Yes.
Evidently, there was a larger dump somewhere in Korea, but oh, I have no interest in seeing it.
I'm sure that one was big enough.
But, you know, the movie's about you know, the kind of the haves and the have-nots. It's in the future, and all the super rich people are living on a space station that kind of hovers over the Earth. They've just left us all and just, you know, and gone to this beautiful, idyllic kind of space station that kind of sits up in orbit, and we're all looking at it and wishing that we could go there, too. And so that scene is like a big action scene, like a big set piece, where this Bugatti Veyron spaceship crash lands in this dump in Mexico, and we try to hijack the billionaire in the spaceship. It's the perfect kind of visual expression of the themes of the movie. It's like a Bugatti in the middle of like this third world dump.
Right.
And so we kind of knew thematically while we were why we were there, which did help.
Sure.
A little bit. Like,
but you're still finding poop dust.
Yeah. I mean, it was gnarly, man. You know, but we were looking at the playback on the cameras, and the photography was so cool and so unique that for me, I only get grouchy on a set when I'm with a director who doesn't know what they're doing and a crew that does know what they're doing, and right. That's really frustrating because there's like 100 of you looking at each other going like, we're all wasting our time right now, and the director's the only one who doesn't know it.
Right, you know? That sucks.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mexico City, this voice of Matt Damon on the phone talking about his new film available everywhere called Elysium. That's a dangerous place in real life. Did you take any kind of precautions going down there, being as well known as you are, to be in such a sketchy place?
Yeah, they had security for me there when we were there, which was really a bummer because I grew up going to Mexico. I used to go to language school down there when I was in high school. My mother and I would go on these trips in the summertime, and we'd go to Mexico City, and then we'd take a bus to Cuernavaca, and we'd live with a family, and like, you know, go to Spanish immersion school, and then we'd travel around the country, you know, by bus, and they were the coolest trips. And
are you making this up right now?
No. So I did it for 2 summers, and then we did Guatemala for a third summer right before I went to college, and you know, they were the best times, and I love that country so much, and it was just such a bummer to go back there and have security, you know, and be that guy. But, you know, things aren't like they were in the late
80s. Yeah.
You know?
But didn't you have a lot of robot parts on you? Couldn't you have taken someone down with that suit?
Yeah, they just made me slower if I tried to run away.
Now, I know we're almost out of time with you here, Matt, but we had your friend Charlton Copley in a couple of days ago.
My condolences.
and he told us that we needed to ask you, point blank, who's the better fisherman, you or Charlton?
That's funny. Oh, man. We went. Did he tell you the story?
No, he didn't.
No,
he just said ask.
We went fishing, and Charlton had literally never been fishing, and you know, and then we're with these little spinner reels, you know, and we're on this boat in one of the little kind of the little waterways up there in Vancouver, and Charlton literally got on a streak, and I swear to God, the guy pulled like 50 fish out of the water, and nobody else on the boat. There's like four other guys, and nobody was getting a nibble, and he was just ripping fish out of the water. Same bait, same everything.
What the hell?
He just had a horseshoe up his, you know. and then, so for the next, like, and he was off work for a few weeks, and every day we got a series of emails that were just pictures of him. He insisted that we take a picture of him with every fish.
Of course, of course.
And then he wrote a corresponding email with every fish with the picture, you know. And he would send them one at a time throughout, you know, throughout the 2 weeks. It was really fun.
He also told us that you taught him poker, and he beat you.
Yeah.
That's true too. Yeah. He beat everybody. He was like, I don't know how to play. And I said, come on, man, it's a friendly game. Nobody's, you know, it was a nickel and dime game. And we convinced him to play. And then of course he had, you know,
he cleans up.
He ran into the deck. He couldn't get out of the way.
Well, he's a terrific actor. He looks great in the movie. Jodie Foster, obviously. Diego Luna is in the movie. William Fichtner, Matt Damon. I mean, the movie just has everything going for it, and we're so excited it's out. And now that you're local, Matt, if you ever have some time, I know you're busy, come in and spend some time with us in the studio. We have so many things we'd love to talk to you about.
I would love to do that. We can talk about the sports teams.
Yes, yeah, we can.
Absolutely.
We've got some negotiating to do.
When the Celtics come to town or the Red Sox, you know, I'll come down.
You could be our Boston correspondent.
I'll be happy to take some punishment.
Let's hear it for Matt Damon for coming through today, you guys.
Thank you, Matt. It's Monday morning, and on Monday mornings, we like to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Harvey.
Thank you for joining us, as always. We've got a lot of ground we've got to cover in a very short amount of time before you get to your meeting. And let's start with your little friend Justin Bieber, full frontal naked, practically, on TMZ.com. What's up, Harvey?
You got to like this one. You got to like this.
You do?
I think you'd look. You know what? Give the devil his due sometimes. Come on, guys.
All right.
I'm really serious.
You think he was funny?
Well, I think it's kind of funny.
For those of you that haven't seen it,
I think it's such an old joke.
Well, it's a grandmother. That's what you do with a grandmother. You tell old
it is.
Jokes.
I see.
I've never done what he does with a grandmother. Ever.
So here's the deal. He's at Thanksgiving in Canada in October of last year, and he's staying at his grandmother's house, and he overslept and decided to prank the people in the house, and he comes out completely naked with a guitar covering his junk and is serenading his grandma. Which I think is kind of funny. I'll give this one to him.
I'm fine with that too. I mean, it's an in family, in house joke. But I'm surprised why 9 months later this photo surfaces. How did you get it, Harvey?
Well, all I can say is they know we have it, and they were totally fine with it.
I'm sure they loved it.
They think it's fun. It is. It's kind of funny, guys.
There's it's kind of funny, and then there's also the ew. It's a little ew.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Right?
Let's change it up a tad. Let's suppose that Kate Upton came out naked with a guitar with her grandmother. How would you feel then?
That's the most beautiful thing in the world.
I would do everything I could to find and destroy that guitar. That's what I do. All right, let's move on to something more serious. Is it good news or bad news coming out of the Amanda Bynes camp? Now, we heard last week that her stay in the hospital has been extended. What's going on, Harvey?
Well, I mean, the good news, it's not great news. I mean, she is really suffering from a severe mental illness to the point that the doctors ran into court right before this hearing on Friday and said to the judge, look, in fact, the judge came to the hospital and said, look, I don't care what we don't care what happens in the conservatorship case where the mother's trying to get a conservatorship. We need her here for another 30 days. She is gravely mentally ill.
Wow.
And we have to deal with it. And the judge granted it, which is really unusual. I got to tell you, it is hard to keep somebody against their will unless there's a compelling case. And the judge felt there was, and then in the conservatorship case, the judge also there felt that Amanda needed a conservatorship. So it's a really sad situation, and I mean, it's all pointing to schizophrenia. There isn't a final diagnosis yet, but we're told, and we've been telling you this for months, that the signs are pointing to that. So, you know, that's what's been going on. Is not just the craziness of somebody who wanted to act crazy. It's the craziness of somebody who really can't help herself and is really having a severe problem.
Well, they may be doing her a huge favor by forcing her into medical treatment right now before she ended up getting arrested or hurt or ended up giving away all of her money or spending everything. I mean, this could be the best thing that ever happened to her, right?
No, it's true. It's true. But the problem is going to be long term. You know, hopefully they're going to find this medical cocktail that will stabilize her. And it's, you know, listen, sometimes nothing works. I mean, that's just the sad part about schizophrenia. But sometimes it does. And then the trick is to get the person to take it, you know,
right.
Which you have to do.
Right.
So
right.
This is not something that's going to resolve itself just because she's in the hospital for 30 days.
And I thought it was interesting what you put on the site. This is Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, of course, talking about Amanda Bynes, where you talked about how she's been crying, which the doctors think is a good sign because that means she may be feeling some genuine emotion, kind of being shaken out of whatever trance she was in, right?
No, it's absolutely true. And so far, this medicine, the doctors think it's worked pretty well. And that's exactly right. In fact, you know, it's funny because she, I don't know, this is so sad to me, but you know the dog, this Pomeranian she had when she lit the driveway on fire and the dog was doused in gasoline?
Right,
yes.
The parents took the dog. She really wanted to see the dog. So last Thursday night, they brought the dog to visit with her for like a half hour. I don't know. This is just such a sad story.
No, it is sad. It is definitely sad. All right, and let's close, Harvey, with I think that Kim and Kanye, although I don't care about their child, and I certainly don't care what their kid looks like, I think they missed a real opportunity to raise a ton of money for charity by selling the photos. Why won't they do that?
You know, a fair question. I mean, look, they give money to charity. They do. And people do this in all sorts of different ways. There are people who profit off of, you know, selling baby pictures, which they're not going to do. And like you said, like Brad and Angelina, they sold it and they gave money to charity. I don't know why. I mean, I just know that the two things they're looking at are, you know, giving it to some fancy magazine like Vanity Fair or just putting it out on social media, which, you know, other people have done. And, you know.
But they were offered $3 million, right? And they turned it down?
And they turned it down.
I mean, look.
I get it. I get it.
Eventually, people are going to see the kid. I could understand if they were saying we don't want people to see the child, and that's why we're not putting the photos out there. But if they're going to put the photos out there some other way, why not use that as an opportunity to do some good? It just seems like they could use the, you know, the image upgrade too.
I get it. You're depressing me. So can I end it on a really nice, funny?
Absolutely. Sure.
Here's my favorite part. Right. My favorite thing about them in this whole year. Scott Disick puts this picture up on Instagram over the weekend of the Last Supper. But Kanye, who really does think he's Jesus,
oh, he does.
Is not Jesus. Kanye is flanking Kim, and on the other side of Kim is Chris Humphries as one of the disciples. But you would think he – and by the way, Scott made himself Jesus, and you would think that he would have made Chris Judas. But interestingly, he made Kendall Jenner Judas.
How's going
on? Make any sense.
I think that is hilarious.
Why did he make this photo now? Isn't this the type of thing you usually save for like a family Christmas card or something?
I don't know, but you know what? He's become the funniest of the whole bunch of them. I couldn't stand him at the beginning because I really couldn't. I mean, he was doing this. Remember, he was spitting at neighbors and screaming at neighbors.
Yeah. Horrible.
But he's become this really kind of funny guy.
Wow.
And have you seen the picture?
Yes, it's very funny.
It's really very funny.
It's just weird though. It's like just so random. Like, why would he spend time doing this in August? It's
what else
crazy.
Does he have to do?
Exactly.
Well, these and all the other great stories available at TMZ.com. Don't miss TMZ Live on Fox at 4. And, of course, the TMZ OG show airs each night at 6 on Fox Channel 11. Harvey, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
We'll see you guys.
Thank you.
Lady Gaga is nude and no one seems to care.
Well, that's my point. Isn't she one of the biggest stars in the world?
She is, yes.
Yeah.
Why is this such a tiny little ripple? Is it just that her boobs aren't big enough, so therefore we don't care? Is that it? Is it just that she's too old?
I don't know if it's that or that she spent so much time saying, look at me,
mm-hmm.
that people are just like, it's just another stunt.
We've looked at you.
And a long list. Yeah, and she's not that attractive, let's be honest.
And it's on her face. She's got that mask on.
Have we seen her boobs enough? Is that what it is? At this point, it's just
probably.
Old hat.
She's doing it for this Marina Abramovich. She has a Kickstarter art project, and it's a bizarre thing where it's called the Abramovich Method, and it's being practiced by Lady Gaga in this video. And she's just posing and standing and stretching, and then she's holding a crystal, and she's sitting on a crystal, and then she's... I don't know. It's the most bizarre thing that you'll ever see. This is the sound. I guess it's supposed to be like...
It's like yoga, right?
Sort of.
She's standing in a river at one point, and she has like a mask on with antlers on it coming out of her eyes. She's doing
that. Right, that happens.
Then she's running through the forest with another mask on, like blindfolded. She's completely naked. And then she's leaning down with a cowboy hat on, picking up sticks. I mean, it's just, I don't understand. Am I not smart enough or not in tune enough or not deep enough to understand how this is supposed to help you?
If you are, I am. Because I don't understand it either. It doesn't make any sense, although this is my favorite part. Oh, different.
Oh, that's good.
Different note. Much better. So I don't know what this Abramovich method is. It's art / I don't know.
Lisa, you're into all this new age crap. What are you supposed to get out of this?
I've never heard of this, to be honest.
I've heard
a lot.
Let's talk about new age crap. What are you supposed to get out of that? Is it just meditation?
I'm sure it's about getting some zen and some peace and opening yourself up to the universe.
There's my favorite part.
All right. It doesn't move quickly. I'll tell you
that. Well, let me just say that Yoko Ono has some competition, first of all. And B, Marina Abramovich is on the phone with us right now. She is the performance artist who is working with Lady Gaga and has the Kickstarter campaign to help her spread the word, I guess. Marina, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey!
We're not actually doing it right now.
Right. We just want to talk about it, is all.
Yes.
Hello, Marina.
Hello.
Namaste.
Namaste to you.
Namaste
as well.
To you as well. Now, you're the performance artist that is famous for the... Okay, Marina. We could cut that out. Actually, it'd be great. Hello, Marina. Come back to us.
Namaste.
Namaste to you as well. So you're the performance artist who last year... you set up shop at a museum in New York, and you were there day after day after day, and you sat at a table, and people just came in and sat opposite you at the table, and you just stared into each other's eyes for as long as they could stand it. And that was performance art. That's the type of thing you do, right?
That was not performance art. That was me reaching into the soul of another being. And another being find themselves reflected in the pools of my consciousness.
All right, but that's nonsense.
I can't hear you.
Okay, all right, Marina, all right, let me ask this. Namaste to you as well. What are we supposed to get out of this video with you and Lady Gaga and you're sitting on stools in the woods and you're screaming? I don't understand. What's the takeaway for me, the home viewer?
The Abramovich Method.
Which is what?
Which is a series of exercises designed to heighten the participants' awareness of their physical and mental experience in present movement.
That's nonsense.
Why do you keep screaming? Stop yelling. Okay, Marina.
Marina.
Hey. Hey, you. Marina.
Namaste.
Namaste. Are we supposed to feel closer to God or to nature or to just be more in touch with our emotions? I don't know what we're supposed to get out of this.
God is within us all.
Okay.
And also amongst nature.
Okay.
By becoming aware of one's present, not living in the past or the future, you are able to heighten your awareness, to engage your truest self, and be able to reflect upon others what they see truly unto you.
I don't understand.
Okay, what a... What? Marina?
This is only a test.
What?
Had this been an actual emergency, you would have been told where to go to by your local emergency provider.
Why do you have to be naked to run around in the woods to do your exercise?
Because clothing gets in between you and life. By bearing yourself and stripping away all pretenses to your physical elements, then your emotional and mental elements are also free to explore the consciousness that surrounds them.
Now, come on. Why are you doing this to us? Marina,
now, why Kickstarter? What do you need money for? What are you trying to raise money for here?
Sister's got to eat.
Sister's got to eat. Okay.
What was that?
That's a llama.
Why is there a llama there?
Why do you have a llama?
It's the Dalai Lama.
Oh, wow.
You're going in the file, Marina.
Namaste.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
We had comedian Adam Ray in with us last week, who told a hilarious story about recently walking in on his roommate's private time. And how awkward that was and how he handled it. And we thought it might be fun to take your calls if that's happened to you. You've walked in on somebody while they're taking care of business. We want to hear from you coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday morning.
Give a buddy a hand in that situation, right?
No.
Help him out.
No.
Oh, come on. We're all grown-ups. Help a buddy out.
No.
You're so uptight. Before I get to the showbiz news, how about some tickets to a screening of a movie that I've been looking forward to for some time now. It's called The World's End.
Yay!
Simon Pegg, Martin Freeman, Nick Frost, back together again for another film, The World's End, about five friends who reunite in an attempt to top their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier, and unwittingly they become humankind's only hope for survival because it's the world's end while they're doing their pub crawl.
I like it.
Funny idea. Rosamund Pike's also in this. I adore her. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, and why wouldn't you? We're having a special screening Thursday, August the 22nd, I guess it is. It'll be the day before the movies in theaters on August the 23rd at the Lemley Santa Monica 4. You get to see the movie, and then there is a very special World's End pub party at the old King's Head right after the screening. So if you'd like to attend, I've got five pairs of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Call now and get your tickets for At the World's End. Edgar Wright also directs. The man who brought you Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, of course, with these guys. Always funny together.
Love that group.
Speaking of movies, it is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And everything shook out pretty much as expected over the weekend. Elysium came in at number one with $30.4 million. Then We're the Millers, in its debut, $26.6 million, made it number two. Planes, the new animated film from Disney, $22.5 million. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, debuted to $14.6 million. And then Two Guns at number five with $11.1 million. The rest of the top ten: The Smurfs 2, The Wolverine, The Conjuring, The Despicable Me 2, and The Grown Ups 2.
A lot of twos.
A lot of twos.
A lot of these.
Yeah, I added some D's for emphasis. Emphasis. Congratulations to Vince Vaughn and his wife, Kyla. They now have a matching set of children, a boy and a girl. Vince's reps tell Us Weekly magazine they welcomed a bouncing baby boy into the world last Wednesday. Their little boy, Vince Vaughn's kid.
Yes.
Vernon Vaughn.
Vernon.
Vernon. You don't meet a lot of Vernons
anymore.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Single-handedly, the Vaughns are bringing back the Vernon. God bless
Vernon.
Them.
Vernon. That sounds like a 1920s name.
Vernon. Vernon Lindsay Vaughn. And Vernon has a 2-year-old big sister named Lachlan. So Lachlan and Vernon. Sounds like a dance move. Dude, I was totally Lachlan and Vernon out there. It was awesome.
The only Vernon I think I've ever heard of, Ralph, was Elvis's father, was a Vernon. Remember, he had Vernon and Gladys were his parents.
That's right. Maybe Vince is a big Elvis fan.
Maybe.
What about, hey, Vern, know to me? Man, hey, that guy.
Yeah, that's just Vern.
But it was very short for Vernon. Come on. You all know that. Has Linda Lohan slipped back into her old habits just 8 days after leaving rehab? Here's the thing, you're going to see a lot of these stories, and I feel bad for her, because you would see these stories whether she falls off the wagon or whether she stays completely sober.
No matter the truth.
Right. People are going to speculate, and every time she goes out, they're going to point a finger and say, oh, she's loaded again. So, take that for what it's worth, but the New York Post is reporting that someone said Lindsay was visiting with her old buddy Max George from The Wanted at a party last week in West Hollywood. Word is fellow guests at the hotel where the party was were complaining, and security got involved, and she was asked to leave at 7 a.m. in the morning. Now, that's not proof positive that she was boozing. She could have just been hanging out
right.
till 7 a.m. in the morning, because that's when the party went. But bystanders say she looked like a total mess, and so everyone's speculating that she is back to her using ways again.
Or I hope not.
I hope not, too, and I'd say give her the benefit of the doubt, God's sakes.
TMZ has a photo of her that was taken over the weekend on their site today where she looks fantastic. Just looks healthy and happy. Looks great.
Speaking of drinking and driving, Daredevil, the captain, Robbie Knievel, arrested for DUI over the weekend.
Aww,
he really is a daredevil.
This is his latest stunt.
You get loaded up and you get behind the wheel. That is just courting disaster. He's brave, man. But you know why he got out of it okay?
No.
It's because Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, man.
That's true.
Yeah, that's his Lord and Savior. Give me a little Robbie. You're a little captain. You got a little captain for
what him? What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
Yeah. Good point.
I got to be honest. I was trying to guess the possible answers. Laughing was not one of them.
It's like he knows a secret. He's not letting the rest of us in.
I felt like nobody had ever asked him that before. Like, when he just kind of just...
He's the captain.
Accepted it. He's the captain. We're just going to go with it, I guess.
Just call yourself that.
Captain Kangaroo. What service are you in, Captain Kangaroo? And sorry, Lisa, and the rest of the ladies who are listening to the show this morning.
What?
Kevin Federline is off the market.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
The infamous ex-husband of Britney Spears took his longtime girlfriend, Victoria Prince, to Vegas and popped the question. And those lovebirds went out and got a marriage license last Friday, so apparently they're planning on doing the deed sometime soon. So congratulations to Federline and Victoria Prince. I would never in a million years expect that they would still be together after all this time. They've been together for a long time. And she's lovely and on top of it and successful and just seems like she has a lot going on. I do not know. I think it's the Pope is out. He's got the Pope
is
out.
He's got four kids by three women, too, by the way.
Yeah, so.
And
you say that like it's a bad thing.
And a hell of a rap career as well.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Maggie Lawson from Psych is 33 years old today. Casey Affleck turns 38. Yvette Nicole Brown, the actress, is 42. Rebecca Gayhart is also 42. Michael Ian Black, 42 as well. Peter Krause is 48 years old today. And Sir Mix-a-Lot is 50. Well, why play the popular, well-known version when you can play that version? Well done, Beer Mug. Again, thank you for your contribution to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations, Adam Simmons of Los Alamitos. Adam Simmons is going to the Life is Beautiful Fest.
Oh, Ivel. So lucky. The Ivel is the best
in
part.
In Las Vegas. This is The Killers, Kings of Leon, Beck, Imagine Dragons, Capital Cities, and more. It's not my imagination, right? There's more festivals in America this year than ever before.
Correct.
Does it seem like every single week we're sending somebody to some other festival that's I mean, Outside Lands was just this past weekend. Lollapalooza was the weekend before that. Made in America is coming up.
Yep.
It's just – it's insane. And now we unveil K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013 destination number 5, which is Austin City Limits in where?
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Well done, Kevin. Now listen to this. Muse, The Cure, Queens of the Stone Age, Kings of Leon, Depeche Mode, and more all at one festival.
What?
9:10 this morning, we'll hook you up, get you on the standby boarding list here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Again, it's Austin City Limits in Austin, Texas. That's destination number 5 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013. Details at krock.com.
We had comedian Adam Ray in, and he was telling us this story.
I walked in on him while he was giving himself a... you know, a me time surprise.
He was talking about his roommate.
Yep.
First of all, we had been talking about how I'm from Seattle, and we were hoping that the Seattle gets a basketball team back.
Right.
We leave, go to our respective rooms, and moments later, maybe not even 20 seconds, 30 seconds later, I had one more thought of like, oh, you know what, and I would also like to add this. And by the way, the look of fear in his eyes when we locked eyes and saw each other. It's a moment I'll never forget.
How long was the lock?
Maybe, you know what, it felt
30,
like
40
it felt
seconds?
Like 6 days. It was probably like it was probably 3 seconds. He turned his chair to like he could have just like turned his head, but he turned his chair and he was still like holding on to
turned
it.
Turned his chair toward you?
Yeah. And then he was just like, I'm sorry.
Now, we're taking your calls if this has happened to you or if you've been on the receiving end of the stare as somebody opens up the door. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Adam's story was about a roommate, but we're not just saying roommates, right? It can be brother or sister,
sure,
right?
Whatever.
Can it be husband or wife?
Yeah.
The more embarrassing, the better. That's okay. The rule.
Can it be mom or dad?
Sure. Grandpa, grandma? Sure.
So you walked in on someone during private time. That's the topic on the table this morning at 1-800-520-1067. What should be the protocol there, you guys? I mean, clearly you avert your eyes and close the door. But do you ever speak of it again? Do you bring it up and try to smooth it over? How do you handle it going forward after you've had that? Or do you just move and never talk to the person again?
You just don't leave them a forwarding address.
Burn the place down.
No, I would bring it up endlessly. That's just me, though.
How about if you were the one that got walked in on?
I would not bring it up endlessly. It'd be all completely different.
I don't know. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I just wonder, like, what's the protocol? I mean, I guess it's probably different for everybody. There's probably some people who just ignore it, pretend it never happened, and then there are other people who, like you, Kevin, would just want to constantly make sure that it had never been forgotten.
Rub it in. No.
Nice.
Let's talk to Nikki. Let's start with Nikki.
All right.
Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
So your roommate went where? In college?
It was in college, yeah.
Okay. And what happened?
Well, one of the first times it happened, one of the first times.
One of the first times? This happened a lot?
It did, yeah.
Was your roommate male or female?
It was a female.
Female. Oh, and she, why do you think it was not a coincidence that you kept walking in on her? Do you think somehow that was her plan?
No, I think that she did it for just hours at a time.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would walk in sometimes, and she would, like, be under the sheets and just going for it.
What do you think was going on there?
Well, you know, I tried getting her laid. I tried a lot of different tactics, and it didn't seem to work. I don't know. She liked herself.
That's a lot of masturbation.
So the first time it happened, it was probably horrifying and embarrassing for both of you. And then once it just got to be like once a week, it was just like you probably just went about your business, didn't even pay attention to it anymore.
No, no, no. I put up literature on the effects of chronic masturbation. I posted poetry everywhere on like, you know, masturbatory thing. I mean, everything.
Is it?
I tried.
Is it possible that she wanted you to interrupt her all those times?
Well, we did think that, you know, after coming in on her multiple times, that, you know,
right?
she was getting
That's what I'm
really
saying.
Excited, yeah.
Because she would talk to her friends and go, what do I have to do to get Nikki's attention?
Was she attractive?
I didn't find her attractive.
Oh, that's too bad. I could have really turned it into something. Okay. All right. So, so did you guys stay in touch after you got stopped being roommates?
No, I mean, I had one big blow up with her, and that was kind of it. She was charmed into the bathroom, which I told her to go and finish up in there, and that was kind of it. But.
Unbelievable. Wow. Great story, Nikki. I'll be thinking about that one all day today.
Oh, thanks for the call. No, thank you.
No, but in a good way. All right. Let's talk to Rob. He's on line two. You're not going to be pleased when you hear who Rob walked in on. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Hey, how you doing? Well, I still have keys to my parents' house, and I went home briefly. I just show up unexpectedly, and some porno was on the main room, like in the living room. So I was like, "What the hell? What's going on here?" So, anyways, I go in the kitchen. I turn it off to save embarrassment. I had a feeling it might have been my stepdad. But I walk into the kitchen, and then I walk back out, and he comes out, and he's like naked, and he has plastic stuff over his penis. And
he has, plastic stuff.
Yeah, just like, I don't even know what it was. It wasn't like a plastic bag. It was like,
was it a drop cloth?
I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. It was just a weird moment, and we kind of like just stared at each other like, what? Like, I didn't know how to respond. No words were exchanged. And
you just turned and walked away?
He turned and walked away. He saw me. I could see, like, he was scared, like, oh, no.
Because that's a nightmare if your wife's son finds you doing God knows what.
Do you think he was making a mold of his penis, maybe?
No, I don't think he was.
What was he doing? I mean, why did he have plastic? Describe plastic junk.
Kind of like the plastic that wraps around a TV when you buy a TV, like that type of plastic. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's kind of like, it's really, it's rough.
Like bubble wrap?
No, not like bubble wrap.
Like cellophane?
Something like that. Yeah, he had that on there, like a lot of it. I don't know what he was doing. He was naked. I don't know what kind of fetish that is.
You didn't say, hey, what's going on there?
let me ask you this, Rob. Did you ever talk to your mom about it?
I did. I actually told her like 2 weeks ago, and she was laughing her ass off.
Did she know what he was doing?
Yeah, she just laughed about it because we had caught him in uncompromising situations. Where, like, one time we caught him on the couch with her bra on. And,
okay. Yeah. All right.
That's a whole nother topic.
He's a big drinker.
You caught your stepdad with your mom's bra on.
Yeah, that was another story. I mean, there's
sweet.
Other stories. Yeah.
He just doesn't understand that it's supposed to be private time. It's not supposed to be time where you get visitors.
He passed out, though. It was private time, but he passed out. And then we're like, what's going on? We came home one night, and he was on the couch. And
oh, that's fantastic.
At the time, so I was like, what's going on here?
That's so great. You're so lucky.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the call. Hey, Katie, whatever you do, do not hang up. I promise we're going to get to you first when we come back. And Jess and Matt and Aaron, this is a topic our listeners have a lot of experience in. 1-800-520-1067. More calls in a moment on the Kevin DeMeade Show on K-Rock. So Breaking Bad came back last night on AMC, the first of eight of their final episodes of one of the best series of all time. Chris Hardwick hosted something called The Talking Bad right afterwards, and we'll talk to him about that in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. First, though, we're taking your calls on walking in on somebody in private time. You walked in on a friend, a coworker, brother, sister, boyfriend, mom, dad, masturbating. How'd that go? 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Katie. She's first, and she's on line five. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I'm a huge fan, so I'm a little nervous.
Thank you. No worries.
So over Christmas break, within the span of 3 days, on two separate times, I walked in my dad and my brother masturbating to the same porn.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Hold on a second. So was it on a computer?
Yes. It was in our computer room, which is the only place we have a computer. And the way the computer room is that if whoever's walking into it, they can see what's on the computer without having to see the person.
Right, right.
The way the computer. So I would, and we don't have a door in the computer room, which I fixed after the.
Yes, you fixed quickly, right?
Yeah. And I walked in the first day, my dad was watching porn and he was kind of slunched over and I could see what it was. So I immediately turned around and walked out and he didn't see me.
Okay.
And then the second day, I was talking to my brother about what we were going to do for that day. And I walk in and I see that he's watching the exact same porn, and I was and I just turned around, walked out, and then called a guy to install a door.
Now, tell me you went back the next day just to see what mom was into.
No, I officially got also changed the computer because that computer had virus problems, and after that I figured out why.
But yeah, that must have been a pretty good porn.
It must have been certainly popular in your house, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Katie, you said you walked turned around and walked out both times. Did you ever tell them that you'd seen them?
No.
Can we call them?
Although it did just hit me right now that they both listen.
All right.
Well, Katie has seen more of you than she wanted to, you guys. Thanks for the call, my dear, and thanks a lot for listening to the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jess real quick. Jess on line six. I don't think we've had a call yet from the person who was walked in on. I thought that might be fun.
Ah. Hey, Jess.
Hey. I went to a very conservative Christian college in Arkansas.
Okay.
And I'm actually calling you from Missouri. So, hello, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May. I'm
hello.
A big fan.
Thank you.
But basically, I was having some private time in my dorm room, and then my roommate, she was at choir rehearsal, and I didn't think she was going to be back for a while, so I didn't even bother locking the door. And so she came in. It was very obvious what was happening.
Right.
She screamed very loudly.
Did that scare the living daylights out of you?
Oh, yeah, completely. I'm in the top bunk. I pull the covers over my head.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a little kid thinking if I hide behind this pole, no one will see me.
Right.
That's not how that worked. But, and then she left immediately, and then we revisited the issue later.
You did? How did that work when you revisited it?
Well, when she came back about half an hour later, she said, "Did I really just walk in on you doing that?" And I said,
"No.
You did just walk in on me doing that. And we're friends, and I hope you don't tell anyone, and I hope this is all right. I hope this isn't weird." And she was like, "Oh, no, it's fine." She's like, "Lock the door next time." But
yeah, heads up.
Oh, that was basically it. Well, that ended
that's
well.
Not bad.
Except for the screaming.
Right. So,
forever.
So you probably didn't even get to finish, right? And that was the worst part.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. If I would have been a man, that would have been a much, much more difficult situation.
All right, Jess, we appreciate you listening online, and thank you very much for the call today. All right, we don't have much time. We got so many good ones, though. How about let's do Kia. Let's do another masturbating Kevin and Bean woman who had somebody walk in on her. Hi, Kia, on line 8. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Who walked in on you?
Oh, my mom on Christmas Eve. It was great.
Your mom on Christmas Eve.
Yes. I was in my room, minding my own business. The whole family was out in the other part of the house. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to watch some porn on the loop. And, she was like, hey, what are you? And then she walked in and saw me. And she was like, that's disgusting. And ran out. And Christmas was very awkward then.
I'll bet it was.
Did you guys end up talking about it?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
I think that's so interesting. I wonder what the breakdown is on people who just decide, without a word being spoken, that this just didn't happen.
This will never be spoken of again.
I think most.
Yeah. All right, Kia, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
That's awesome. We're going to have to leave it there, but we have some good images to take us through the rest of the day.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Lisa, did you watch last night?
Nope.
Spoiler alert.
It's all right. I'm several seasons behind.
Oh, several seasons.
Yeah,
all right.
So go right ahead.
Yeah.
Now there's only 7 episodes left. Last night, Breaking Bad returned on AMC. It was unbelievable. It was so good. And now they're doing something new for the final 8 episodes, and that's they've enlisted our little friend Chris Hardwick, of course, from The Talking Dead, to now do a Talking Bad that comes on the same night on AMC. Hi, Chris. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Gentlemen, it's good to talk to you. I was worried we weren't going to be able to talk again until October when Walking Dead came back.
Chris Hardwick is going to recap every TV show at some point in his life.
And by the way, I'm very disappointed you didn't think of us when you were doing the Talking Honey Boo Boo. You never reached out to Kevin and Bean for that one.
Well, I know how much you love that show. It is a compelling program, and there's so much to pick down of every episode.
Of course.
Rednecks are very complex creatures.
Now, Chris, last night on the show, and by the way, great job as always. You had Vince Gilligan as a guest and super fan Julie Bowen from Modern Family. You said at the outset, and I want to know if this is just hyperbole because the man who created the show was sitting there next to you, or if you really mean you do believe it is one of the greatest television shows of all time.
Yeah, I would say without hesitation that it's definitely one of the top five shows, at least in my opinion. I mean, especially because, you know, when you watch a series, like there's usually like a first season curve where a show like takes a little time to ramp up. Maybe the pilot's okay. Even the pilot reboot of Doctor Who in 2005, I always tell people, look, it's a pilot, give it a couple episodes, and then you'll be into it. But this show, from the get-go, is incredibly compelling. There's a holy crap moment every episode. it's the confluence of the acting is brilliant, the directing's incredible, the stories are fantastic, the music supervision is amazing, and it's just one of those shows that when you're watching it, like I get anxious when I watch the show.
Yeah, they do that. They do that so well, where they just ratchet up the tension, and maybe nobody's saying anything. They're just sitting there, but it just seems like it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, I mean, I rewatched the series over the last month to get ready for Talking Bad, and honestly, if you are a fan of the show, I recommend you go back and watch it again. Because you just so many things make sense. It's sort of like watching Arrested Development twice.
Right.
Where you go, oh, now that I see where they went, like watching all of it set up and build up, and I think the show's insane.
Yeah, I want to do that. I really do, because it is so great. And you're absolutely right, Chris. It never had a weak season. You know, like some of the other shows, no matter how great they are, whether it's Dexter or Sopranos or West Wing or any of the classics, they all had a dip. And I don't think Breaking Bad ever did. I think every season has been great.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe that's part of the good news, bad news of only getting five seasons out of one of your favorite shows is that, you know, there was never a moment where you felt like they just went in and they were like, well, I guess we got to fill up this season somehow. Like, they really, like, all the way through, start to finish, and the character development and the show is figuratively and literally about chemistry and just how these people affect each other's lives, and I adore it.
You've spent a lot of time with Vince Gilligan over the last month since Comic-Con, and then you had, you know, you interviewed him there, and then you had him on the podcast, and then you had him again last night. You spent enough time with him to have an impression on what kind of a guy he is, besides a genius, obviously. Tell me about Vince Gilligan.
Well, Vince, if you are a fan of the nerdly arts, was also the executive producer of X-Files.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he was sort of legendary to begin with, and then he is, and I would say this of the whole show, like, the nicest, sweetest. I mean, like, this is one of those guys where you go, all right, you know what? If you were a dick, it'd be okay.
You've earned it.
You've earned it. You've earned dick status. But he's not at all. He's like the sweet, like the entire cast, Cranston and Aaron and Anna and Odenkirk and like all of them. It's just a cool group of people. They're just nice people.
Can I ask some questions about last night's episode? Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Was that a flash forward? Where he's got a beard and he shows up and his house is all boarded up and he goes to the electrical outlet and gets the ricin. Is that a flash forward?
Yeah, it is. It goes back to the beginning of what they're calling season 5A, which is the first half of the fifth season, where they flash forward and they basically allude to the fact that it's his 52nd birthday. So I guess in timeline wise, it would be about 6 months ahead of where the episode took place last night.
So it's just it's a little bit of a pump fake on where this show is going, because he's going to end up looking bad, house repossessed. I mean, it's not good. He's getting ricin.
Well, but, you know, maybe they're having a ricin party. I don't know. You don't know what's happening. You don't know if it's that the house was taken away or they abandoned it. You don't know. I mean, some of the big things that we found out last night, and again, huge spoiler alert, so if this is playing in a grocery store, just stuff some celery in your ears and run out. But we found out that his cancer's back,
right?
But his family doesn't know. And the idea that, you know, I think any lesser of a showrunner would have let the Hank thing play out this entire season, and they get right into it.
I loved it.
They get right into it, which means that the next seven episodes are probably just as action-filled. So it's a pretty incredible place that they've
Chris,
started the last
Chris, explain to people who don't watch Breaking Bad what the relationship is between those two and why it's coming to a head.
Well, Hank is Walt's brother-in-law, who is now kind of runs the local DEA office. And he's been tracking this... you know, he's obsessed with the meth trade on the streets of Albuquerque and in the Southwest. And he's been tracking this guy named Heisenberg, who's been essentially right under his nose the entire time, which is his brother-in-law.
And he doesn't realize it until, was it the beginning of last night's episode?
He doesn't realize it until the end of the cliffhanger last season, you know, like at the last half of the season. And
right.
Then he basically takes a six-month crap for about 6 months. And then when they come back, then he realizes through a series of events. But, you know, the interesting thing is, if someone said to you, like, oh, and in the show, the DEA is his brother-in-law, and he has no idea that his brother-in-law is, like, you go, come on.
Right,
right, exactly.
The amazing thing about Vince and the way that they handle the show is, no matter how outrageous the premise is, they always find a way to justify it in such an organic way where you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I totally see. I totally get why that would be that way. And so you never, ever feel for a minute like they're talking down to the audience. It's just
right.
Everything just flows. So it totally makes sense, and people should definitely watch.
What is your why bother, now that we've spoiled it for him? What is your opinion, Chris, on the one talking point that a lot of people online had last night, which was that it was too much of an obvious mistake that Walter White, being so careful to cover his tracks through all these seasons, would never have made to leave that book out to potentially incriminate himself?
I have two answers to that. Number one, a book under a stack of magazines behind your toilet, maybe, you know, like, I would see how someone would be like, no one's ever going to figure out what this inscription means. But the other thing is that Walter White, and my vision of what the show is that the entire series is about a guy who's trying to establish significance.
Right.
At every turn, he makes prideful decisions, and there are even points where he's okay, like everything's going to be fine, and he kicks the hornet's nest again. There's that one season where Hank's, like, the case is dropped, it's done, he's going to get away with it. And then he gets drunk at dinner, and then, you know, he says, oh, I think the guy's still out there. And you're like, what are you doing? He kind of, you know, and he also doesn't like other people taking credit for his product. And so he is just one of these guys that I think almost sort of wants to get caught because he has an ego now, and he has so much pride.
Interesting.
You know, like, they're pride issues. And so, you know, even at the end of the episode last night where he threatens Hank. You know,
oh, he threatens.
He threatens it, but not in a. But you know, like Julie Bowen said, let's say if there were any sort of tapes around, like you couldn't use, they wouldn't stand up in court.
Right. He did. He admitted it without admitting it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just that last scene. I want to watch it over and over and over again. That scene of them in the garage with Hank confronting Walt. It's just so brilliant. Like, give them both the Emmys right now. It was so unbelievably well done and so intense. I mean, just some of the best TV I've ever seen.
Well, Cranston directed that episode.
Did he really?
How about that?
He did. And so, you know, I mean, like, one of the things, just as a performer on the show and then also the director, how generous he was with Dean Norris. And to really let Dean, like, that, the subtlety of the acting on that show is mind-blowing. But just even just watching Hank's, like, his eye just kind of twitch a little bit.
Yep.
His lip just quiver a little bit when he realized, like, the entire time what an idiot he's been and why didn't he see it sooner and just the rage. The show is just, that was the moment.
I had a guy tweet me last night saying that we should all end our tweets with tread lightly.
All right, before we let you go here, Chris, is it going to be every week on AMC like it was last night where we have Breaking Bad and then Low Winter Sun and then you come up with Talking Bad? So you're not immediately after Breaking Bad like you do with Walking Dead, right?
No, but that's how Walking Dead was in the beginning, where we were on hour after the airing. And then,
okay.
And then we were only a half hour. So, you know, there's a lot to get through, and half hour flies.
Totally.
By. You know, we try to do our best to cram it all in, but this entire last half of the season, we have cast members and some pretty insane celebrity bookings, and you know, we're gonna try to get everyone on. So,
love it. Well, there's certainly no shortage of Breaking Bad super fans out there for you to call on. That's for sure. A great job last night. Super, super entertaining, and it's exactly what you want when you watch an episode of the Breaking Bad. Is you want an opportunity to ask questions, hear questions answered, talk about it, and that's why the Talking Bad is an awesome idea. Chris, we always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
traffic.
There's nothing better than a big delay because people are looking on the other side of the road.
Oh, those bastards. Hit them with a tire iron right in the back of the head.
That's the best.
There should be punishment by death for those people. God damn them.
Nothing happened on your side of the road. Just keep on moving.
Nothing more infuriating to me. The only time I ever use my horn, unless it's like an oncoming traffic situation to warn someone they're going to kill me, the only time I use my horn is when I'm behind somebody who's slowing down to look over across the divider at a guy changing his tire.
That happens
I go right up behind him. I'm just an inch away from
tap him a couple times.
A little bit. Just a little bumper cars with those people. Assholes.
Hey, The Canyons is that big comeback movie for Lindsay Lohan, and her co-star in the film, actor James Dean, joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Sean Carrick. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday.
Segway whiplash right there. I thought Bean was going to have a conversation with me. The Canyons is where it's even worse because there's only one lane
through.
And I'm like, oh, no, he's just ignoring me as usual. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office, Elysium, in its debut, made over $30 million, 30.4 to be exact, making it number one this weekend. We're the Millers, in its debut, $26.6 million, made it number two.
Sure looked like that was going to be funny.
I am disappointed to hear that you found it not so.
It was...
I've not seen it yet, but now I'm less than excited about it.
It's not a funny movie with some funny jokes in it.
Okay, then.
And this is Kevin saying this, who finds everything funny.
You know, Kevin, I don't think they're going to put that on the
poster.
You don't
think they're going to put it on the
poster? No, that's not going to be on on the DVD box. You're not earning your keep.
There are some good laughs, but not a good movie.
Planes, the new Disney film for kids, third. Percy Jackson's Sea of Monsters was fourth, and then Two Guns, number five. The Smurfs 2 was sixth. The Wolverine, The Conjuring, Despicable Me 2, and Grown Ups 2, running out your top 10. More casting news regarding Sylvester Stallone's Expendables 3. It just keeps getting better. We already got Wesley Snipes, and they just announced Harrison Ford, of course, famously, and Dolph Lundgren will be returning, Mila Jovovich. Now, we hear Antonio Banderas and Mel Gibson.
I don't care.
Oh, what? You should care. You're Mel Gibson. You're in a new movie. Oh, I thought there was going to be a lot of clips of him on the phone.
I don't care.
Usually that's how that goes when that happens, but that's what I get for expecting something.
That's provocative.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Fire beer mug.
Never mind. Chris Brown had a seizure.
I don't care.
Well, you should because it's all your fault. It's all of our faults. We all share blame in this one.
It's our fault?
Yeah.
Wait, we caused it?
Yep.
How?
His doctor said the seizure came about because of intense fatigue and extreme emotional stress, both due to the continued onslaught of unfounded legal matters and nonstop negativity by the public.
But a lot of his legal matters have been things like hit and runs that he's participated in.
Well, sure, he gave false information to a person he had an accident with.
Unfounded. The doctor said.
And, of course, he did beat his girlfriend Rihanna into the hospital. I mean, that was a legal situation he had to deal with.
Right. How is any of that not Chris Brown's fault, though?
Well, see, this is the kind of negativity
that
causes seizures, Bean.
You're the one, Bean.
Stop it. We have to start looking at the guys who beat women with a positive light. Or else they're going to start feeling bad about themselves and having seizures.
Can't have that.
What do I have to do to make him choke on his own tongue?
No kidding.
How negative do I have to feel about him at that point? Because whatever it takes, count me in.
It's so funny because, you know, he's talking about how he can't take the pressure anymore in this album that
he wants to
quit. Coming out. Yeah, it's going to be his last album. And there's like nobody jumping up and going, no, don't stop making music. I mean, everybody's just like, fine.
No.
Go.
No, Chris, don't go. Please. No, don't go. Can I have my $5 now? And Keyshawn Johnson has announced he is no longer going to deal with the Beeb. You know, they live in the same complex there in Calabasas,
same gated community.
That's right. He was the one who chased him down, and Bieber hid behind a locked door when he wanted to talk to him, remember? Keyshawn apparently selling his property in Calabasas. Won't have to deal with the Beebs anymore. It can be yours, by the way, for the low, low cost of
$8,500,000.
Wow. You guys want to pick yourself up a little property in Calabasas?
With Bieber as a neighbor.
With
the
Biebs racing through your neighborhood in his Fisker, Karma Fisker, or whatever the hell he's driving these days. Little twist, getting your kids all loaded up on drank. It's a bad neighborhood. Whoever thought Calabasas would be like the ghetto with Bieber and his cronies making their way, selling pot to the kids in the playground and zooming around in Ferraris, kids bouncing up the hood. It's a nightmare. Hey. It's safer in South Central now than it is in Calabasas since Beaver moved in.
I wouldn't want to be the realtor trying to sell that house. I feel like you'd have to disclose that, and that would I think that would turn off most potential buyers.
Keyshawn has announced he is moving to Mission Viejo.
Mission Viejo?
Because he's going to coach football down there at Mission Viejo High School.
Oh.
In Orange County, the same school his son will be attending this fall. No pressure there. Your dad's Keyshawn Johnson. He's coaching the football team, and you're trying to redshirt as a freshman.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Maggie Lawson of Psych is 33 years old today. Casey Affleck turns 38. A lot of people turning 42 today. Yvette Nicole Brown, the actress, Rebecca Gayhart, and Michael Ian Black. Peter Krause from Parenthood, and of course, 6 Feet Under is 48 years old today. And Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Want to pull up?
He is 50 years old today. Takes him a little longer to get sprung these days, but what are you going to do? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look who it is. The return of our friend James Dean, ladies and gentlemen, male porn legend and co-star along with Lindsay Lohan of the film The Canyons, available on demand right now. Hey, James.
Hey, man. Thank you very much for having me back.
Of course. Always good to see you. Last time we had Jim, we were talking about teen mom Farrah Abraham, and that seems to have died down. Thank God you don't have to answer questions about her anymore.
Sweet.
And now another controversial co-star. Your movie with Lindsay Lohan has come out since the last time we saw you. How's that experience been for you, having that finally be unleashed onto the world after so much pre-hype, I guess?
Kind of terrifying.
How's it been?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm out of my element. And I get constantly reminded that I'm out of my element by, like, you know, people telling me to, like, all right, so there's a movie premiere. And usually, you know, when I'm invited to a party, there's a contact that I can call and say, hey, like, what time should I be there? Should
right.
I bring a pot roast? Like, you know, like, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe a bag of chips. And with the movie premiere, so I just finding out what to wear was a challenge in itself, and
kept trying to take off your clothes, and they made just keep them
no,
on.
No, oh. I did successfully take off my clothes, and no one stopped. No, no. I have an email from somebody at IFC that I kind of feel like might be some sort of weird conspiracy, but that I feel all paranoid and stuff because it basically says, dress casual. Also remember you're going to be by the pool, so dress for the occasion. And I'm reading. I'm like, are they asking me to show up to a movie premiere in a bathing suit?
I'd say so. I'd say that's a big yes.
And so I wanted to print that email onto t-shirts and then just wear that t-shirt in a bathing suit to be like, what? Well, you see, the people at IFC told me to wear a swimsuit.
So you're kind of navigating unfamiliar waters because in your industry, the porn industry, you're, you know, top of the game. You're producing. I mean, you know the ropes. You know all the players. You know exactly what the protocol is. And now all of a sudden you're wading into this other, no pun intended, other pool, and you just, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to behave. You don't know what's expected of you.
Correct. And I mean, I think about it, and you know, the adult film industry, I've been performing in next March will be 10 years. So I mean, I have quite some experience, and with experience comes, you know, knowledge and stuff like that. So
right, exactly.
It's you know, I imagine if I proceed to that's not the right word. If I continue this mainstream experience in 10 years, hopefully I'll be able to have it kind of figured out, some of it.
Was this the first mainstream movie you ever went up for, James?
Yes.
And Lindsay, big role to start with.
Yeah. I'm kind of wishing I did a couple practice things because I saw myself at the premiere. And, you know, I appreciate all the compliments I've heard from various people about my performance, but I give myself about a C+. I feel like I was like trying to watch it, which was difficult in itself. And then everything, I was just like, ah, you can't understand a word I'm saying. Why didn't anyone at any point in the movie tell me to enunciate? I would have done that.
They just let me go on my own.
Yeah. So, you know, and I guess that's, you know, that's the thing, is that the standard stereotypical actor's ego is so fragile and weak that nobody wants to, like, critique their performance in fear that they're going to, like, you know, start crying in the bathroom or something. And I
you would have welcomed a few comments.
Yeah, I thrive off criticism.
Yeah, how about a heads up? You know, I'm new.
Yeah, tell me, like, how can I improve?
I have heard a lot about this movie that we're talking about with actor James Dean is called The Canyons, and it's available in some theaters, but I think most people are probably seeing it on demand. You can find it all over the place. Everybody's talking about what a micro budget it is, even though it has, you know, a big name like Lindsay Lohan associated with it, and it's got Bret Easton Ellis, the writer, and the very famous director. How much, what's the budget on this film, and did it seem super low budget when you were making it?
The budget was about $250 when all was said and done. It didn't feel super low budget, but that was because, I mean, the movie is, it's, all right, so Bret Easton Ellis and Paul Schrader are part owners of the movie. They, them and Braxton Pope, the producer, came together and said, hey, let's make a movie. So they all, you know, they've crowdfunded a bunch of money on Kickstarter, and then they all contributed their own money. They were reading Lindsay to be a, they changed, originally the character's name, I think, was actually Lindsay, and then they changed it to Cynthia, and that's played by Janelle Houston, blah, 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 go see the movie. so they were reading her for this, like, this part in the movie. She read the script, and, she got very excited about working with Paul Schrader and on the Bret Easton Ellis movie, and was like, I want to do this. I want to be the lead. I want to be starring in this movie. And then it was very awkward and fun to watch because I, you know, I just got to watch the awkward conversation of, well, you know, the budget's $250,000, so we're not really going to be able to, like, pay you. And so, you know, she and her people, they worked out a back-end deal. So, I mean, to do the actual movie...
I'm just saying.
So to do the actual movie,
I think she was getting paid like $100 a day or something. But then, you know, on the back end, she got $250,000, and she owns 25% of the profits. So, I mean, she got paid. The owners of the movie got paid, and then, I mean, I think everybody else was just working off back end deals and stuff like that. So on the actual film, they had $250,000 to pretty much spend on the movie.
That's it for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's like for really all that goes for is like, you know, the camera rentals and, like, you know, props and, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff like that. Everything else is, you know, like the house that we shot at, there's like this multi-million dollar, like $10 million home or something in Malibu Hills, was the owned by somebody who donated money on Kickstarter.
Like, wow.
Come shoot at my house.
That's right. An insane yeah. house, by the way.
Yeah. So
that's insane.
Now, yeah. You shot this when? 6-8 months ago?
A year ago. Almost today, yeah.
So this is pre-Lindsay getting, we hope, better. Correct?
Yeah, I guess. I don't really know much about Lindsay Lohan.
But you spent some time with her.
Yeah, I mean, I know what I know, like, from meeting her.
What do you know?
She has red hair.
I know that, and I haven't met her.
Her name is Lindsay Lohan.
She was in that Freaky Friday movie, I remember.
I learned that, actually, relatively recently. Somebody
you didn't
cast
know that
me,
ahead of time?
No, someone cast me in a... porno Freaky Friday. And then later they told me that the reason why is because I'm starring in that movie with Lindsay Lohan. And I was confused because from what I remember, Freaky Friday was like from like the 70s or
80s. Exactly. Yeah. Hers was the remake.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I didn't know that they did make a remake. But they, yeah.
So she was the well-known actress on the set, though. Did you, did you have any kind of preconceived notions of what it would be like to work with her? And if so, were they shattered?
No, I didn't really have any. I had no idea what to expect going in. So I went into the experience completely ignorant and kind of trying to make up my own opinion as it went, which I think actually worked well for me because, you know, I wasn't surprised by anything. Nothing was shocking.
Have you been surprised? I know Bret Easton Ellis has given some interviews where he said, I'm just surprised how many people have their knives out for this movie. Like, people are being unusual. Some people are being unusually cruel to this film. And he wondered if it was because of Lindsay Lohan, just because she's such a tabloid figure right now, if it's kind of unfair. Yeah, it got the attention of the movie, but it also kind of brought detractors out as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think really, all right, at the end of the day, the statement of there's no such thing as bad publicity comes into play. I mean, you have Lindsay Lohan and porn star in the same, like, movie. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if anybody actually likes it. Everyone is going to see it.
It's like Sharknado.
I don't know what that is, but I want to see it.
Exactly.
Is that a tornado full of sharks?
It is, yes.
Why are we watching this right now?
How have you missed
Sharknado? Stop talking to me. Let's go watch this movie.
You need to catch up on that one.
That sounds
amazing.
It's
exactly the same sort of thing you're talking about. It doesn't matter that Sharknado was not a great movie. Everybody wants to see Sharknado because it's a tornado full of sharks. It's the same kind of thing you're talking about with the canyon.
Yeah, I was going to draw the parallel to Snakes on a Plane.
Sure.
Like, I mean, it's just the type of thing that, you know, for one, Bret Easton Ellis Wallace and Paul Schrader have always made cult classics. So it's cult classic written all over it. And then in addition to it, you have Lindsay Lohan. And so that's going to be, you know, incite, you know, something. And then you have Lindsay Lohan's boobs.
There are those.
Which is going to be, you know, something that everyone, you know, people want to check out. And then there's going to be the porn star guy and him, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. And then there's Lindsay Lohan and the porn star. And then there's there's all the layers into it as far as like the group sex scene with Lindsay Lohan and the porn star. And like it's just like, let's see how much more stuff we can throw at this movie to make people like have to spend $7 to watch it.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, technically there's nothing wrong with the movie. It's shot well, it's edited well, it's, you know, everything about the movie as far as like, you know, when you watch a movie, it's fine. So really the only thing that can happen when people review it is they give their opinions about, you know, Lindsay sucks, James Dean sucks, Lindsay's great, but James Dean sucks, James Dean's great, but Lindsay sucks, you know, Brett Easton Ellis sucks, but Paul Schrader's great. And like, it really, all it is just just opinions and personal feelings about it, which I think is great. I think everyone should go see the movie and make up their own opinion if they want to come at it with a knife because of Lindsay Lohan or me or the combination of the two or Brett or whatever, then, you know, bring it on. You still James spent $7, so we have your money. Take that.
You got your 25 cents out of that, so you're fine. James Dean is here. The film is called The Canyon. It's available on demand now. More with our guest in a moment after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Adult film superstar James Dean in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Mainstream actor James Dean also is one of the stars of The Canyons, available on demand right now. This is the movie you've heard so much about with Lindsay Lohan in it. Was it weird for you to not be having sex in a film, James, to still kind of have these scenes but have it stop where it usually just starts to get going in your day job?
No.
Okay.
The reason why. All right. So in mainstream movies, my extensive
your vast one movie experience.
I've done a few other little things, but the only one that had sex in it was this one. The sex is shot kind of the same as dialogue, opposed to, you know, adult films where it's more like adult films is more like being a like sports entertainer, like being like, you know, having some like playing a sport, playing basketball, and having someone run around and film you guys play basketball.
Right.
Opposed to the sex scenes in a mainstream movie, which was pretty much the same as like the dialogue part of the adult film movie. Or
like it's all described.
Yeah. You plan it out. It's shot. You get coverage. It's not like, you know, like Animal Planet where you're just kind of watching mammals hump each other.
It's not nearly as much fun, in other words.
No, not at all.
It's a lot more work. Lindsay does have phenomenal boobs, though, right?
Yes, she does.
And way real.
Yes, very real.
How was she uncomfortable doing a movie like this? I mean, this is the most graphic thing she's done in a film. What was your sense of that?
The only time I really... Oh, man. All right. This is the only Lindsay thing I'm going to say because I already started. And I do have, like, a strict policy to not talk about Lindsay, but also since it's radio and it kind of applies to print because I did the same interview... like all over the place, and it was printed on the same day. One said James Dean slams his co-star, and the other says James Dean defends his co-star.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
the quotes were exactly the same in both. So after that, I kind of had a policy to not talk about it anymore. But this is radio, so I mean, I don't know how. You know, I guess
but
you guys
no one's paying attention. Hear how you're saying.
Yeah. So I mean, so pretty much Lindsay's. So you guys can hear how much of a D-bag I am.
Right.
So Lindsay, I can't speak for her and her comfort level. I don't know. You know, it would be a question you have to ask her.
You can get an impression.
My impression was that she wasn't so much uncomfortable with the content and the performance, but it was a big deal to her, being the fact that it is the first movie that she has, like, really bared herself in this light and, like, done, like, sex scenes opposed to just, like, kind of risque nudity type thing.
Right, right.
And so it was more of a big deal as far as a career and less of a big deal as far as like on a personal level. And everyone was kind of relaxed about the situation because, you know, I was in the scene and, you know, I'm very comfortable and used to, you know, running around naked. There was a female adult performer in the scene. This is the four-way scene that I'm talking about.
Right.
There was a female adult performer named Lily LeBeau who was in the scene. So she was also very comfortable and she was almost overly comfortable to the point where people were like a little awkward about the fact that she was so comfortable. the gentleman in the scene was, I believe, an aspiring model or something. thing. I'm not sure where they found him exactly, but he was very nice. And after hanging out and talking to us all for a while, he got very comfortable. And then the crew and everything like that, like I said, it basically slowly and surely, everyone was joking around and, you know, seeing that, you know, like everything, everyone kind of became very relaxed. And it was a very.
Did she take that on?
She kind of became. I feel like she kind of got. Insulted, not even insulted, but that was kind of what made it an issue for her. Wasn't the content of the matter, it was the fact that people were acting like it was no big deal, and to her it was a big deal.
Oh, it's interesting.
And so the second somebody like Paul Schrader stripped off his clothes and made it a thing, and the fact that there was a now it was now an event and it was a thing, she, you know, came out and nailed it, did an amazing job. And so I mean I and again, I can't speak for her. I can only, you know, because I'm not her, and I could be completely wrong.
Wait, you're not her?
I'm not. Oh. I'm not. My
we would have never had you in.
My boobs don't rock. But yeah. So I really think it was just a matter of you know, she was comfortable with the content. She was uncomfortable with the fact that nobody else cared about.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah. She's like, okay, Lindsay, take off your shirt. Come over here. And she's like, no, this is like a big deal to me. You guys, right. Like, make a production out of it.
Now, I would think, James, you have sex with beautiful women for a living. That's what you do. But if you're spending time with Lindsay Lohan, you have to hit that if you can, right? I would think.
I mean, if that's your primary goal and that's what you want to do, I mean.
Isn't it?
I don't know. What's your primary goal? You tell me.
Let me put it another way. If I'm in your shoes and I'm, you know, you're James Dean and she knows that you're an excellent lover, your reputation precedes you.
For the record, just because I have sex on camera does not mean that, like, you know, I'm very good in bed. It means I'm very good at making it look like I'm good in bed.
What I'm saying is I
all
think you would have had a chance.
Totally
you
just
had
spit
a,
in the studio.
You would have had certainly had a chance with it. You have a leg up, no pun intended. You should go for it when you have the chance is what I'm saying. While you see
I
a
think
chance,
you should
take
go
it.
For it if you have the chance.
Did you bang her? Let's just get
well,
to
thanks
it.
Thanks for being direct.
Let's
I appreciate
just get,
that.
We've been tiptoeing around it.
No.
All right.
Let's go with no.
You disappoint me.
Let's go with no.
All right. No, that's all right. I accept that. All right. The Canyons is available on demand right now. Should people see it, James? Yes or no?
I think people absolutely should see it.
Okay.
What
fair
do you
enough.
Think he's going to say?
Well, no. I mean, I've...
You know what?
He's
very honest.
Yeah,
that's
I've
one of the reasons honest. I love having James in.
Thank
yeah.
you very much. I've been involved in projects before. If people were like, should people... No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, if you want to die, sure. But no, I think The Canyons is a very interesting movie. And, you know, it's something that will incite opinions no matter what. Whether they're good or bad, I think that, you know... Everyone should at least see it and decide for themselves what they like and dislike about it.
Same with Sharknado, and we don't want to talk to you again until you've seen it.
Okay. I'll watch it tonight.
Have you done – before we let you go, has this opened doors for you? Have you been on some auditions for other mainstream things since it came out?
Oh, I've gotten so many horrible scripts.
Sweet. Welcome to Hollywood.
I have a friend now that I've been taking a lot of meetings since the events have occurred. And I finally sat down with somebody at Sony. His name's Todd Black. And he and I were talking. And this man is amazing. He is just seems like a really good guy. I don't know. He seems awesome.
Okay.
And he finally broke it down to me. And he was like, all right, here's the deal. Nobody, including myself, is going to actually give you a shot in anything until they see what happens with The Canyons. Because if it comes out and you're a joke... Like, as far as, like, you know, the public as received as a joke, but right. You're amazing in it. People aren't going to be able to put you in a movie because the public doesn't take you seriously. If the public takes you seriously, but you suck in the movie, no one's going to give you another job because maybe Sharknado, but, like, you know, no one's going to give you, like, another shot. So people need to see how the public responds and how you actually perform before anybody does anything. So until then, you're just going to have a lot of meetings. And I was I almost wanted to hug him.
Yeah, that's pretty direct.
Thank you for explaining this.
Because I don't know what's happening.
Yes, and so it was very, very helpful. And so pretty much the moral of the story is that since the movie just came out, all my offers and everything for people that wanted to put me in movies or people that just kind of wanted to get in on the hype,
mm-hmm.
and they have bad scripts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Well, I thought you were very convincing in the film.
Thank you. I now believe
you are, in fact, a dick.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is you played that convincingly, and that's what an actor is supposed to be.
Thank you.
All right, James, we always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Man, I hope you come back and see us again soon.
Anytime.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
So, last night was the Teen Choice Awards.
You don't have to tell. Oh, wait. Really? It was?
You know who was on the red carpet?
Well, our man Beer Mug, I'm sure, was the guy that we sent out there.
Yes.
Dave the King of Mexico is the only adult I know who watches the Teen Choice Awards. Oh, you guys should have seen it. Paramore was there.
You're using the word direction. Adult very, very loosely there.
Apparently, Darren Criss from Glee and Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars were the hosts last night at the Teen Choice Awards. Now, this is not the same one where they get the goop that falls on
them. No,
that's
right? Kids' Choice.
No, that's the kids.
The goop flows after the awards on this show.
This is the Teen Choice Awards. Now, I may not know a lot of these people who are nominated in these categories, but Beer Mug was on the red carpet just talking to everybody, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you know who they are or not, because Beer Mug is the real draw.
Yeah, that's true. He's the star of this show.
Hello, everybody. Beer Mug here at the 2013 Teen Choice Awards. I'm going to ask all the kids what's in, what's hot, or what's not. Maybe not even get any information at all.
First of all, why does it sound like I'm talking in my shirt?
How are we supposed to know?
You tell us,
that was
genius.
Not. I didn't record that, by the way. That was Dave the King of Mexico's work. So
already he's deflecting.
Hey.
That guy, not me.
Back off. But why does it sound like crap?
How am I supposed to know? But back off.
I don't want my work to sound like crap.
Oh, your
Kevin.
Work, please. So tell me, Master Chefs Junior.
Yeah,
these are little kids that are chefs.
Yes.
How is that a thing?
They will school you in the kitchen. Guys,
how is that a thing is a good question, but Muggs does talk to them, and I love it when Muggs starts a question with the word myself.
Quite often, actually.
Guys, ready to rock? What's up? Beer Mug here at the Teen Choice Awards 2013 with MasterChef Juniors right here. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. Myself, I'm a little bit overweight. What would be a nice meal that you guys would prepare me nutritious?
What happened to you?
Is that the best question that's ever been asked?
What would be a nice meal that you guys would prepare me nutritious?
Prepare me nutritious. It's Party Bus. It's Party Bus Beer Mug.
He's me.
I know that your life is terrible and you should quit and then die.
But How dare you?
You have to be standing out there in the 90 degrees on the red carpet of the Teen Choice Awards, and you're talking to a chef who's 9, and you have to be like, what am I doing with my life?
Well, and there's a million questions you can ask a kid, really, who's a chef.
Myself.
But to turn it around and say, myself, I'm overweight. What would you prepare me nutritious?
What would be a nice meal that you guys would prepare me nutritious?
Like best case scenario there. What's he going to say? Best case scenario.
He could have given me
vegetables. I'll make you a plate of vegetables.
He actually suggested panko crusted trout.
All right, good.
Well, then day made. At least we have a hilarious comedy bit there with panko crusted trout.
I would just wonder why they have no parents. Like, why does this poor kid have to cook for himself? Why doesn't he have a mom to like make him a peanut butter jelly sandwich or something once in a while?
You guys are stalling, but there's a lot more good Beer Mug to come.
Sorry.
Jean-Luc Bilodeau. How do you say his name?
He or she is
Bilodeau,
great.
Yeah.
From ABC's Baby Daddy. Beer Mug asks where the name came from and then is immediately completely out of questions.
Jean-Luc, I have to ask you, did your parents name you after Mr. Jean-Luc Picard?
Indeed they did.
Sweet!
They did, yes, they did. Yeah, awesome, man.
That's it.
He's got nothing else.
That's it. I'm good. That's all I need from you.
Mr. Jean-Luc Picard, by the way. Known as a captain by most people.
Max Greenfield from New Girl.
Yeah.
We love
Schmidt.
I love it when people say that this is a man who needs no introduction, and then they introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, this next man needs no introduction. Mm-hmm. Mr. Max Greenfield.
Right. And now Muggs is talking to Max Greenfield, who's in pretty good shape, about himself being fat again, myself.
Myself,
I'm not a very in-shape, svelte man. I have a little extra baggage around the midsection.
Yeah, but you're looking, you know, you've got some...
Okay, now Max Greenfield is trying to say, yeah, you got a little something going on, though.
Yeah.
He's being really kind.
Yes.
I'm feeling kind of like Fat Schmidt.
Don't do that to yourself.
Oh, sorry.
Don't do that to yourself.
And then Beer mug wrap.
Let me try to coattail on your excellent work and performance on television by tying myself into it.
You didn't like that tie-in, Rob?
I'm Fat Schmidt. I'm like you, and you're successful, and I have sort of reflected glory.
You didn't start the sentence with myself.
Oh, sorry.
That's how you have to do it if you're him. And then listen to how Beer Mug talks to Max with an X.
What are you going to do with the board when you win it? I'm sure the one of the Vampire Diary kids will win, and I'll just go steal it from them. I would really enjoy that, Mac.
Mac. I would like that,
that's
Mac.
That's his nickname.
I would like that, Mac.
You're nominated for...
Best Villain.
Sweet. Now...
This is...
There's nothing there.
Carly,
I can tell already.
Carly Chaykin.
Mm.
Which is, as far as I know, I don't know what from what show, but...
Well, as you guys know, sometimes when you're
shaking
on these
with
red
the hits.
When no, you're on that? When you're on these red carpets, they
you
give you
know.
Somebody you're like, oh, all right, I've never heard of this person, but sure, I'll do you a favor.
You're nominated for
you see, doing him a favor.
Best Villain. Sweet. Now, thank you, Carly, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
I was out. That was it.
Someone we've never heard of had no time for Beer Mug.
She saw the blank look in his
musician
eyes.
Named Gavin Bailey, who was nominated for an OC Music Award a year ago.
Oh,
all right.
I'm here with Gavin Bailey at the Teen Choice Awards 2013. How you doing, Gavin?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I hear you were nominated for OC Music Award.
I was last year for Best Youth Artist.
All right. So last year he was nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mark, what do you think Mark's follow-up question is?
How'd that go?
Good
myself,
I've never been nominated.
I didn't win.
Damn it.
How'd that come out was his question.
Yeah. Usually if someone's won, they would say OC Music Award winner when they get you there in front of the microphone.
So Muggs then takes another leap into Nowheresville when he asks him this.
So Gavin, you're nominated tonight for anything?
I'm not nominated tonight.
All right. All right, good.
So an interview with Beer Mug is just a list of this kid's disappointments.
Now Beer Mug.
How uplifting.
Now apparently Dave the King of Mexico was there, and Dave the King of Mexico gave Beer Mug a fact. To try and throw in.
Dave always helps him.
Yeah, to try and throw into one of his questions. Beer Mug starts the question, and then that fact goes away. And he cannot for the life of him think. And he's still talking to Gavin Bailey, who's not nominated for anything.
Right.
And this is, listen to Beer Mug, how long this takes.
So, 25 years ago today, my buddy Dave told me this info that is escaping me. I can't remember right now. So, just bear with me while I try to fill time.
25 years ago today.
He just told him something.
He remembers.
He remembers how long ago the fact was.
It was so hot.
Dehydrated. You wanted the kid to stand there while you went and found out what fact you'd forgotten?
Because it was an awesome fact.
Well, I killed time.
You just hold on while I kill time and try to remember what happened 25 years ago today.
So, 25 years ago today, my buddy Dave told me this info that is escaping me. I can't remember right now. So... just bear with me while I try to fill time. Was it, 25 years ago today, Straight Outta Compton came out.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Where were you?
not here. That's for sure.
Now, wait.
God damn it.
Was that you being funny?
Damn you.
Was that you being funny because he's clearly younger than 25?
Yeah, a little bit. Trying to.
What the hell?
it's a big landmark in musical history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. He finally gets around to remembering what it was.
That's it? That's what we're waiting for?
And then the payoff is not so good.
It's relevant, though, that a rap album came out 25 years ago when you're talking to a guy who... it doesn't make any sense at all.
Who's
sorry.
Eight. Muggs, you can hear the fat in his voice now, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just...
His larynx is getting fat.
How dare you.
He's lackluster. He has no energy.
It was hot. I was dehydrated.
They wouldn't give me water on the red carpet. It was tough.
I'm done, dude. Can we just go get flame broiler now? I'm really not. I'm losing hope and focus right now.
Now he's bringing less energy to the crap he used to do as opposed to...
Yes. Can we just go get flame broiler?
I couldn't eat before. I usually eat before. It gives me energy. I usually get water. I had none of that. So I was losing it.
I don't know anything about anything, but I do know that more food is what you need, Grandma. That's the solution to all your problems.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:58.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Beer Mug's all butthurt as if the quality of the audio was what really brought down that segment.
Yeah, he was very upset about
like
that.
Like, if that had been crisp and clear, then his questions would have seemed magical then and bright.
Yeah, my badness would have shined through better.
It no, got through plenty. It. Your badness will cut through concrete. Your badness can cut through steel like an acetylene torch. No one could ever cover as bad as you are with anything. So worry not, my friends. Your badness was...
It was on display for all.
Well received. Myself, I'm bad. You got any audio for me? You got something you're going to play? I'm trying to buy you a little time here.
Would prepare me nutritious.
Is that part of the question?
That was only part of it. I thought that was the whole thing. I'm just looking at a WAV file here.
What would be a nice meal that you guys would prepare me nutritious?
Yeah. If that had sounded better, it would have really...
See, it would have made a lot more sense.
Yes.
It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office as we look at the showbiz beat. Elysium, as expected, came in at number one this weekend. $30.4 million made it. We're the Millers. In its debut, $26.6 million. A lot of people wanted to see Jennifer Aniston's boobies.
Yeah, they were not on display.
But she wears like a skimpy outfit when she's a stripper, right?
Yes.
Come on, Kevin.
Yeah.
She's pretty, but isn't there something so non-sexual about Jennifer Aniston?
That's the way I feel. She's beautiful,
but... She just seems like she would just bust your balls if you spent any time with her
maybe.
At all.
Maybe that's what it
just
is.
Just crush you. Just you'd be so exhausted if just dealing with her. You wouldn't even want a boner. You're like, oh, really? F's sake. What now? What did I do wrong now, Jennifer? Oh, okay.
And we're basically out on nothing.
No, yeah, but you can tell. That. No, but it just radiates off of her. Just a lot of this. Just a lot of those kind of moments. You just have to look up to the heavens and say, oh. When will she shut up? Don't you get that feeling?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah. I do.
As guys, we have like a spidey sense for that. It's true, Lisa.
Okay,
we do.
Well, I'm sure you'll have the chance to find out.
Oh, I'm getting it from Lisa.
Getting some of that Aniston, are you?
Yeah, I'm getting a little Aniston vibe from Lisa.
Aniston-y.
That poor guy. Oh, God. With the dog again. That's what he's saying most times. Planes was third. Percy Anderson, Sea of Monsters was fourth. Young Guns 2. Nope, Two Guns. The movie. Number five. The Smurfs 2. Just too many twos this weekend.
A lot of twos.
I'm getting lost at all the twos.
A lot of number
welcome
twos.
Welcome to summer.
The Wolverine was 7th, The Conjuring was 8th, Despicable Me 2 was 9th, Grown Ups 2 was 10th. It's just everywhere you look, it's number 2. Everywhere you look in the theaters, number 2. Edie Gourmet is dead.
Who?
Kevin?
Who is that?
Edie Gourmet.
You know, Steve and Edie.
Come on, Steve and Edie.
I don't know who Steve and Edie
Fly me to the moon.
Sinatra.
They used to open for Sinatra all the time.
Oh.
Steve and Edie. Oh, Steve Lawrence, Edie Gourmet?
I don't even know. What that is.
Yeah, no one does, but she's dead.
I was a big fan.
Of course.
Of course you were. She was 84 years old.
They were together for 55 years, Steve and Edie.
Is Steve still around?
Yeah, Steve's still alive.
Yeah. Not interested! Steve said just before Edie passed away, he said, oh, God, 50 years, Jesus. Will you shut up?
And then she did, and he was like...
And then he's like... Oh, cool. Fly me to the moon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Maggie Lawson from Psych is 33 years old today. Casey Affleck turns 38. Yvette Nicole Brown, 42 years old today. Don't tell OJ she's still alive, man. He will come after her. He will come after her. I don't care what he says. He's not
the actress.
He will come after her.
Unrelated.
Very different.
Rebecca Gayhart's 42 years old. Michael Ian Black celebrates his 42nd birthday as well. Peter Krause, you know him from 6 Feet Under, I guess, where we all fell in love with him. And then Parenthood.
Yep. Sports Night is where I fell in love with him.
Sports Night!
Love that show.
Okay!
It was unusually flamboyant in your delivery.
Sports Night! And Sir Mix-a-Lot is 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013, stop number 5, Austin, Texas, for Austin City Limits. An unbelievable lineup, including Muse and The Cure and Queens of the Stone Age, Depeche Mode, Kings of Leon. Get you on that standby boarding list in less than 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The problem I'm having, Kevin, is that it's so expensive to go out and buy
Bean,
razors.
Well, Bean, there is a man here who can help you.
Is there any way that I can have high-quality razors delivered to my door for a fraction of the cost that I can pay at a store?
Well, yes, there is.
Let's say hi to Mike Dubin, who is the founder and CEO of Dollar Shave Club.
DollarShaveClub.com. You're the people from the funny videos. Hi, Michael.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
We wanted to have you in because I'm just so fascinated with how your company was able to cut through. And I don't know. I feel like there should be a lesson the rest of us can take away from your early success, because it's almost impossible to start a business in America these days and get any kind of attention out of the gate.
Right.
Tell folks how you did it.
Yeah. So I think that if you haven't seen the video at DollarShaveClub.com, it's a funny video. And I think it just resonated at a real emotional level for guys, because they hate going to the store to buy razors. They got to fight the lines, fight the crowds, find the razor fortress, which is always locked behind the key.
That's true. Yeah.
The guy is always texting his girlfriend who has the key. And the whole thing takes like a half an hour, and it's a very primitive experience. You get to the register, it takes $20, yada, you get the point. And it's like, this is something people have been frustrated with for so long that you had that kind of powder keg ready to blow, and then our video with humor just really resonated.
Is that how you decided to start this business?
Yeah, we launched the video the same day.
No, but I'm saying like the ridiculous way it's run now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how did you decide that this
you
was
said, hey,
be
I can
thing?
I can build a better mousetrap. Basically, you saw a need for a service like yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for years, when I used to live in New York City, and I would walk right by the drugstore going home, and I wouldn't want to go in to buy razors even when I needed them, because I just didn't want to deal with it. And so when the opportunity came along for me to make some great razors overseas and bring them here and do this replenishment model, I thought, wow, this is great. Guys don't have to forget to buy their razors anymore. We're always forgetting. We're milking that sorry last cartridge for a week at a time.
You are
more.
Hacking your face apart at
yeah,
some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there was just a better way to do it, and I like to have fun, so I made a funny video.
And when you made the video, of course you had no idea it was going to be as popular as it was.
No.
I mean, it has over how many views now?
I think it's probably over 10 or 11 million at this point.
This is a little bit of the audio from your video.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great.
You can't fake or force a viral video.
No.
You don't know what's going to capture the attention of the people on the internet. Did you test this out with a group before it went live, or how did you decide that this was the one you were going to debut with?
Yeah, well, when I was living in New York, I'm a big fan of comedy. I studied comedy at night as a hobby, improv and sketch at the Upright Citizens Brigade. So I kind of have a good sense of what can work academically. And I teamed up with a friend of mine who had just moved here. She's a director and a commercial director. And together we just kind of, put this thing together. We shot it in one day down in Gardena here and at our first warehouse. And I don't know, it just came out really well. I was really excited about the finished product, and I felt like it would cut through. And I think one of the reasons it went viral was because it was supporting a business. I mean, there are tons of funny videos that never see the light of day, that are launched all the time. And,
right.
And this really supported a business, and it solved a really big problem for guys. And that's why it went viral. There are funnier videos out there. There are more viral things out there.
It's no Gangnam Style. Let's not be crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was also a very slow news day. There no shark attacks that day.
And you already, fortunately, had a guy in a bear costume at the warehouse, so that worked out conveniently for you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we had to get special permissions and permits from the animal trainer.
Now, can you, obviously it's a viable business for you. It's very successful now. You can make a lot of money selling razors via the mail?
Well, yeah, and it's not just about razors. For us, shameless plug, it's all about making guys' lives easier, making Dollar Shave Club the easiest place for you to get the things you use every day. And we're focused on the bathroom. So, we want to do body wash and hair care, and right now we also have shave butter and some wipes for you to clean up.
Wipes?
With. Yeah, we have butt wipes for men.
Is there a big market for that? Was there a big hole in the market, so to speak?
Actually, yes, there is.
Well said. There was a huge hole in the market. And you could say holes everywhere. Holes everywhere.
What the hell?
So we actually did a study. We surveyed 1,000 guys between 18 and 45 before we launched the product. We found out that 51% of guys are using flushable wipes regularly, and 16% are using them exclusively instead of toilet paper.
No.
And the number one reason is because they're embarrassed. And they're hiding it from view because they're embarrassed and they don't want to buy it in the store.
Right. Oh, I see.
I'm so shocked by those numbers, first of all, because it's never occurred to me
to use
anything other than toilet paper. Toilet paper is kind of what you grow up, and that's the product that works in the bathroom.
I think you say it like this. If you stepped in a pile of dog poop, would you wipe it off with a paper towel? No. You'd probably run as fast as possible into the shower. So this isn't your foot we're talking about. This is your center of gravity. Why would you not want the cleanest, freshest, nicest way to clean up? I mean, it really is the more civilized way to do it. And the product name is called One Wipe Charlie's. And you need one wipe. It's the only way to go.
And how's that working out for you? Is that moving too?
Oh yeah, big time. You're great with the puns today.
Yeah,
that was not intentional.
Holes in the marketplace. Holes in the marketplace. And no, that one's definitely blowing up the bathroom. We have we've moved over 30,000 of those wipes since we launched them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was an offhanded mention, but you said your first warehouse. You shot that early commercial in your first warehouse in Gardena. Has the business grown so much that you've had to expand already?
Yeah. So the original warehouse that we used I started the business in my apartment, and I was doing all the fulfillment. And finally, we hit a certain scale after the video where we needed to find something that was a little bit more automated. But the warehouse in Gardena, you know, they didn't really do e-commerce fulfillment. They did stuff like take your soap. They bring the soap off the truck. They'd wrap the labels around it, and then they'd ship it to Whole Foods, things like that. They weren't accustomed to packaging up e-commerce orders with different products and shipping it out. So that was still very hacked together and homegrown. Ultimately, we had to move the warehouse to Kentucky, where a lot of the e-commerce guys have their warehouses.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, you're a day in any direction for most of the country. So it's
Did Alejandro have to move to Kentucky, or is he still with you?
Alejandra is
really. I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
How unfortunate for her.
No, she's very sweet. I love Alejandra. Alejandra, who also is in our second video about the wipes, is still in Gardena, working there.
But you didn't have to fire her. Oh, good.
No. So still working. It's in Kentucky and it's fully automated and. You have to do that at a certain level of scale. We have over 280,000 members. You can't service
wow.
that in a place
wow.
that's – yeah, it's cool.
That's crazy.
It blows your mind.
You've created an entire industry out of nothing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's cool.
Who knew? I needed a moist butt wipe.
Well, you need everything. What you need is you need to not go to the store. You know, you don't like going to the store. It takes too much time. And this is really the future. And we're disrupting, you know, traditional retail and trying to make your life
when
easy.
When I go to the store, I do double and triple up on things, though. Like if I'm getting shaving cream, I get like six of them.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to go back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now you get an email from us once a month that says, your razors are on their way. What else are you out of? And our catalog will be ever increasing of products, and you can just drop stuff in. So it's actually one of the easiest things you could do. You can also do it every other month on the Not So Hairy plan if you're like me and you don't shave.
The Not
every
So
day.
Hairy plan.
Yeah, yeah. Every other month.
Well, we are impressed, and of course we love the videos that we've seen, and it's nice. I was going to say it's nice to see a local success story, but now that you've moved all the jobs out of California, I don't know how I feel about that.
That's not true. It's not true. We have 30 people working in our Venice office.
There you go. Good for you. But we wanted to meet you because it's so rare that you see somebody come out with a business that just, you know, like fires like right out of the gate. It just, you know, everybody's talking about it, everybody likes it. It just seems like those stories are so infrequent. But congratulations, Michael Dubin. You go to dollarshaveclub.com. Get yourself the butt wipes, get yourself the shave butter, and of course, get yourself some razor blades. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks
today.
For having me, guys.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Talking about box office numbers we do every Monday morning. Let's see who went to see what in the movie theaters this weekend. Elysium.
Kevin and everything.
Elysium was the big hit. $30.4 million made it number one at the box office.
Loved it. That director, what's his name?
Neil Blomkamp.
So good.
He is a very talented guy.
So good.
How good Charlton Copley?
Great.
What's his name?
Charlton Copley.
There you go. Hey. Kevin, ladies and gentlemen.
Close. He's great. He's a bad guy. He's a really good bad guy.
And, of course, William Fichtner will also win it. Now, William Fichtner's a guy, if I'm not mistaken, you didn't know who he was until you saw his face, but then you didn't remember when you saw his face that it was his name?
Messed up that.
No, I was just trying to remember. I remember there was some curiosity regarding...
Why has Muggs not got this up
never
yet?
Mind.
We don't have
just
it.
Never mind.
Have it.
You know what? You absolutely do have it. It's a moment with.
We just played it on Friday,
Beer
Mug.
Goddamn.
He gave you 60 full seconds to get that goddamn piece of tape up.
It's just a freaking nightmare. Heads up. I started talking about it and bought you a minute to find it.
Are you serious that you couldn't find it in that amount of time?
You weren't so special needs. We wouldn't have to worry about this.
I think it's probably not labeled properly, and so then that causes...
Oh, it's under recognized his face, not William Fichtner. That's why.
Muggs, you didn't know that on Monday when you saw that it was mislabeled? Why did you relabel it?
I wasn't even near the file.
God damn you to hell.
Still
Could we hear it, please?
Sure. Let's wash this taste out of our mouths with some spectacular Kevin.
Of course, it's not Muggs' fault, by the way.
Of course
he's
not.
He's the guy who played it from that machine on Friday, saw how it was labeled, did nothing, and now is complaining that he can't find it again.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And I would never have recognized his face had I not seen this crossing lines. Like, I mean, I recognize his face, but not the name. I didn't know his name. Fichtner.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Sure, it was worth it, but
timing.
Not as much fun as it would have been had it been in a timely fashion.
Timing.
Fire, Beerbug! Fire, Beerbug! Fire, Beerbug!
I wasn't even near the file!
That's from last night's Galaxy game.
It was.
3-3
Dallas.
Tie. 3-3 tie. Go F yourself with your soccer,
Landon
by the
Donovan,
way.
Though, hat trick.
Well, great. That must have mean they... Oh, no, they didn't win the game because it was a freaking tie.
Yeah, that happened.
I love it when special effects from Hollywood play a role in real life.
What are you talking about?
Doesn't happen very often. Well, you know, when you watch those movies and you're like Mission Impossible and see the spies put on cool makeup and everything, like Hollywood-style prosthetics and everything, and they fool people in real life.
Right.
And that never happens in real life.
Right.
Or does it? Great story. Out of the New York Post. Three guys, black guys, ordered special masks from a special effects company to commit a robbery.
Okay.
In order to make witnesses believe they were white.
Okay.
They go to the composite effects website, they make these lifelike silicone masks, and they order three masks, they put the white face masks on, dress up as police officers, and then rob a check cashing place to the tune of $200,000.
Wow.
When the actual police questioned the staff at the check cashing store, they said the robbers were definitely white. But the police actually were able to trace the actual offenders through other means, including, and my favorite clue that they left behind, a glowing email that one of the criminals sent to the composite effects company praising the realism of their masks.
Oh my God.
Really? Thanks for totally helping us pull off a bank heist.
So they arrested the three men, and looks like they're going to go to jail. But it was cool. It was like one of those moments.
They were apparently obsessed with the film The Town. In fact, they found video of one of the guys wearing a Town T-shirt, by the way. They got the idea to rob the joint off of that Ben Affleck movie.
Way to go, Affleck.
But those were nuns in the Affleck movie.
Right,
exactly. The real deal, Neil. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Maggie Lawson of Psych is 33 years old today. Casey Affleck turns 38, speaking of Afflecks. Yvette Nicole Brown, 42 years old, from Community, of course. Rebecca Gayhart is 42 as well. Michael Ian Black, very funny man, turns 42. Peter Krause, 48 years old. And Sir Mix-a-Lot is 50.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. And when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby.
Makes you wanna do the shovel, doesn't it? The grave digger.
You're doing the grave digger.
You're doing the grave digger right there.
I like it.
Good stuff. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin Bean Show. Comedian Jim Norton will be in the studio. We are finally going to talk. Bean's been trying to get us to talk about 3D printing now for...
I want a 3D printer.
For like seven years.
I'm going to get a 3D printer and then print my own 3D printer with it.
Apparently.
I bet you can.
Apparently, you can print a gun that works.
Yeah. Yes, you can. That's gotten all the headlines because that's terrifying to, you know, to the authorities that anyone can make an unlicensed handgun or rifle in their own home. But the technology is getting to the point where you can just print anything. It's just crazy.
You can print your own Aston Martin.
Yes, exactly, Ralph.
But it won't run.
Well, yes.
You need an engine, but you can print the whole body. You can make yourself an Aston Martin.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, you never have to leave your house again if you can print a woman. Food and furniture and just anything you need at home.
You print food?
I don't know, man.
It's not a biochemical replicator.
You don't know,
it's
man.
It's not the freaking Starship Enterprise. It's just going to make you a plastic thing of whatever you copy.
I think Ralph's pretty sure on this one.
One of the first stories I saw on 3D printing was about printing pizza. I'm not joking.
But you're not eating it.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
No!
We're going to talk to the guy. We're
I'm telling you now!
These can't be edible, Bean.
NASA just spent $125,000 to fund a 3D pizza printer prototype is the headline I'm looking at right now, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not eating it.
Lies you told cops to try and get out of tickets tomorrow, and we have a brand new batch of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Maybe. Not if I ruin it.